Tempted by the Pack, written by Anne Marsh, narrated by Kelly Cameron with the Killian Group. Copyright 2012 by the author Anne Marsh. By payment of required fees, you have been granted the non-exclusive, non-transferable right to access and listen to the audio of this book. No part of this text may be reproduced, transmitted, downloaded, decompiled, reverse-engineered, or stored in, or introduced into, any information storage and retrieval system in any form or by any means, whether electronic or mechanical, now known or hereinafter invented, without the express written permission of copyright owner. The reverse engineering, uploading, and/or distributing of this audiobook via the Internet or via any other means without the permission of the copyright owner is illegal and punishable by law. Please purchase only authorized editions and do not participate in or encourage electronic piracy of copyrighted materials. Your support of the author's rights is appreciated. Chapter 1. Her scent was delicious. That captivating fragrance had hidden beneath the tumultuous smells of the farmer's market, so the wolf's first breath carried only flowers and vegetables, the tangy bite of overripe produce, and dirt. And then her. His attraction was immediate and powerful. She smelled more than good. She smelled right. He moved closer, following the trail she had unknowingly left him. She crouched over a bucket of frilly pink flowers, the tough stems falling away beneath her blade, wet and earthy. One quick slash, a deft twist of her wrist, and she handed the newly shorn flowers to a customer. Her hands riveted him, even as her scent intoxicated him. He'd visited this farmer's market many times before he'd grown weary of fighting his wolf, and had concealed himself deep inside the bayou, where he could be both man and beast, safe from the enemies who hunted him. He'd never noticed this female on those visits. She was new. Wonderfully different, even though the market was the same sleepy slice of stands perched on the edge of the Louisiana bayou he remembered from his previous visits. The summer heat slowed her down, putting a sleepy glint in her eyes as she fanned herself, fighting the sensual prickle. Her skin glistened with a sheen of sweat, despite the airy sundress she wore. He liked that sundress. The skirt was all colorful patches, the hem stopping mid-thigh and putting her long, long legs on display for him. She'd kicked off her shoes and twisted her honey-blonde hair up on top of her head. Tendrils escaped, however, curling insistently in the heat. The flower tucked in her hair was a surprise, a bold, deep pink hibiscus that drew his eyes away from the thin straps, crisscrossing her bare back and shoulders. The dress cupped her breasts, molding her the way he wanted to shape her with his hands. She wasn't wearing a bra, and she looked good enough to eat. His mouth watered from her delicious scent. He wanted to drag his tongue over all her curves and folds until he discovered if her taste matched that scent. An answering heat tore through his body, an unexpected arousal that lengthened his cock. Right now he watched from the shadows, his wolf unseen, but staying there much longer was impossible. He was hunted, and the market had no room for the wild and the uncivilized, or for the dark animal side he kept trapped inside. When he inhaled, he knew who had recently had sex, and which women were coming in their fertile times. Sex was a pulsing rhythm beneath the surface of their everyday transactions that none of them were aware of, but he was. He didn't know her name. His wolf had no use for names, but her scent covered the market. While he'd been hidden deep in the bayou, she'd come here, often enough to mark this place as her own. She smelled of sunlight, of honey and sage. Good things, although her scent whispered of arousal too, and the strength of her kneading made him wonder if she could possibly be the one. There were dark shadows under her eyes. A blue moon bride always dreamt sexy erotic dreams that would wake her early and leave her sleepless and aching for a lover's touch. She was aroused now, but he didn't know if she enjoyed that sensual state. Maybe she ignored that side of her nature like so many of the fully human did, denying her body had desires. He wasn't human, and he needed. If she was his blue moon bride, she could ease his loneliness. He'd never again have to worry that one night he'd fail to shift back from wolf to man. Tomorrow night, when the blue moon rose over the bayou, he'd know for certain if this woman was the one. For now, though, he stalked her from the shadows, watching her engage with the market's customers, laughing, alive, wonderfully human. She represented famille and a future as something more than an animal. If she wasn't the one, if he failed to find his bride, he could den with a local wolf and produce pups. Whether or not that litter would be human, he didn't know. It wouldn't matter. That kind of pairing couldn't save him from the animal madness slowly consuming him and his pack. Tomorrow night, when the blue moon rose, the wolf would hunt whomever the blue moon found, and that chosen mate would run. Let her be the one. The farmer's market was a feast of heat and Cajun color. Dozens of people surrounded Lark Andrews. Talking and laughing, buying and selling, the market was the usual cheerful kaleidoscope of sounds and smells, and yet today everything was different. Someone watched her. As she sold grower's bunch after grower's bunch, wishing futilely that today's handful of dollars would be enough to make the mortgage, she felt the sharp prickle of eyes tracking her. Her gaze darted to the moss-hung cypress trees, pressing in on the dusty square where Beauville held its weekly farmer's market. No one lurked in those shadows, but she couldn't shake the sensation of eyes. She knew better than most that the bayou held unseen creatures. Her Nanan had told plenty of stories. The bayou had a dark side, yet it was a beautiful place. Hefting a bucket of unsold cosmos, the flower's pink frills just starting to droop from the late afternoon heat, she gave the cypress trees a last once-over and turned away. It was time to pack up and go home. Before, she didn't have a home to go to. She laid in a course for her truck, pausing only when she reached Mama Jolie, selling her herbs and powders on the outer edge of the market, right before the gravel rectangle of the parking lot started. The older woman squatted barefoot by a bucket of cilantro, wisps of gray hair escaping from her turban. Mama Jolie had a weakness for pretty flowers, and Lark always saved her a bunch. God, it was hot. The stifling heat pressed against her skin, a heavy, wet weight that made her want to strip off her clothes and dip herself in the bayou. The flat waters would be bathwater warm, though, and would do little to cool her off, or to ease the itch of unsatisfied desire that had tormented her these past few days. Her body was on fire, and her vibrator hadn't been enough to ease the aching need last night. Before she could stop herself, her gaze flickered to the cypress trees again. "These are real pretty." Mama Jolie raised the bouquet to her nose, inhaling deeply. "You enjoy now," Lark said. The look of appreciation on the older woman's face said no worries there. "I will." Mama Jolie rocked back on her heels. Rumor claimed she practiced voodoo, and Lark knew the rumors were true. Mama Jolie's eyes darted to the edges of the market and back. "Dark things coming, Shaw. Your Nanan, she talked to you about the blue moon? She tell you what happens when that moon goes blue over the bayou?" Her Nanan had talked about plenty of things, just not the obscene amount of money still owed to the bank on the flower farm, or how to coax life from the cut flower market. Certainly her Nanan had enjoyed dark stories about the even darker creatures hiding the bayou's depths. Any warnings her grandmother had shared no longer mattered, though. Whatever lurked out there in the bayou, Lark would still lose her farm in 5 days. Curiosity didn't matter much when she wasn't sure where to go or what to do. She needed to find a place for herself in this world. Fast. "Blue moon as in once in a blue moon?" Sure enough. Mama Jolie took Lark's hand and turned it over. Her fingers traced the deep lines on the palm. This month, the moon mattered to you. You want to be real careful, Shaw. You got a decision to be making. Stay. Go. You're choosing now. That's an easy call. The women in her family had run Pink Cosmo Farm for 3 generations, planting flowers. Not one had gotten rich farming, but none had lost the place to the bank either. When her mother had deposited her on the front porch of the farmhouse 20 years ago, Lark had been exhausted from a week on the road in cheap hotels. After the noise and dirt and bustle of the highway, the farm was an oasis. She'd walked out that front door her first morning and come face to face with the farm's trademark pink and white cosmos on feathery stalks and lilies half-bent from the heavy weight of their pollen-heavy heads. Later, she'd learned the farm supported itself selling those lilies, but all she'd known then was that their heady fragrance filled every breath she took. She'd stayed when her mother had run, hitting the road again. Sometimes her grandmother had said, "You just had to stop and smell the roses. Take a deep breath and let your senses sort things out." Then her grandmother had passed, leaving her alone to fight to keep the farm going and to wrangle with the bank over past due notes she hadn't known existed. The farm wasn't paradise, but it was hers. For 3 more days. The older woman shook her head. "Not the farm, Shaw. This is about something more." Reaching out a gnarled hand, she tapped Lark's heart, drew a line straight down her sternum. "This, right here. You be choosing here." "Then I'll stay." Lark wanted to laugh, but her Nanan had raised her to respect the older powers. It was never wise to thumb your nose at anything that ruled the bayou. Mama Jolie hummed, amused. "Stay, go. You remember that tomorrow night, when they come for you, you remember you want to be making that choice." "Who's coming?" Mama Jolie shook her head, dropping her hands. "Their families don't come out of the bayou much. They got their reasons. Some of them, they change too much in there. You know the Bro brothers?" The other woman switched the subject smooth as a pirogue in the water. Lark had seen those brothers a time or two. They were the kind of men a woman didn't forget. Big brutes, dark-haired and dark-eyed like a bayou knight, the 6 brothers stuck together, too. Rumor whispered hunting and fishing wasn't all they did out there in the bayou. That itch of desire kicked up a notch. The Bro brothers were rough and far from nice, but they possessed an earthy sensuality that promised their lovers wouldn't go unsatisfied. "I've seen them once or twice," she said cautiously. Mama Jolie nodded. "They live out there, on the water." Lark never had been one for water. Bayou water in particular was deceptively flat and calm when nothing but trouble lurked underneath. Bad currents and 14-foot gators, unseen snags and snakes. The bayou was beautiful, but it was also deadly. Mama Jolie wasn't done talking, though. "You spend much time in the swamp?" "Hell no." "Bad things happen in the bayou at night. That's what I've heard." She rubbed her arms at an unexpected shiver. Damn it, she'd never been superstitious. She wasn't starting now. "Dark things, Shaw." Those old eyes watched her. "Dark don't have to be bad. You just got to take the chance. Think about what you want from this life of yours." "My farm. That's what I want." "You sure about that?" "Why wouldn't it be?" She hefted the buckets into the back of the pickup, the muscles in her arms burning. "That farm's been in my family for generations. And now you're losing her." The understanding look in the other woman's eyes was one Lark recognized all too well. No one in Beauville got rich making a living from the bayou. The lucky ones, the ones with a good shrimping season or tourist season scraped by, and that was more than she'd done. "I am." Defiantly she met Mama Jolie's eyes. She wasn't hiding from this. "I didn't make last month's mortgage payment, or the one before that." "Plenty of folks riding in that boat." Mama Jolie said at last, digging her hand in the pocket of her voluminous house dress. True enough. You take your chances and you see where this leads you. She pressed a small gree-gree charm into Lark's hand. One for luck. The woman's sly grin was knowing. And for protection. 'Cause I'm thinking the Bro brothers will be paying you a call tomorrow night. Just as soon as that blue moon she shows her face, they gonna eat you up. Lark's fingers closed around the charm. She'd never put much stock in the supernatural, but the gift mattered to Mama Jolie, and the thought always counted. You think I need that? Are they dangerous? To her libido, maybe. Even if she had only glimpses of the Bro brothers before, tall, dark, and handsome didn't begin to cover those men. Mama Jolie shook her head, shooing Lark toward her truck. Those boys won't hurt you. Rough round the edges, sure, but they got hearts in the right place. They come for you, Shaw, and you got to choose. You want to play their games, you run. You give them a good game of chase me, catch me, and you enjoy the ending in their arms. That's a good choice for some of us. Those boys, they like to chase. That's the wolf in them, and maybe he called to you, too. Mama Jolie looked towards the cypress woods. You see him there? Lark's gaze followed the old woman's. The stand of cypress draped in Spanish moss was nothing she hadn't seen 100 times before, and yet she had that sensation once again of eyes watching her. Not hostile, curious, heated. A prickly sensual awareness swept through her and pebbled her nipples against the bodice of her dress. For just a moment, she swore she heard a growl. Imagination, she chided herself. Waving a farewell to Mama Jolie, she got in the truck and hit the road. He watched her climb into the truck, fighting an unexpected sense of loss. If she had been a wolf, their mating would have been fast and hard, a raw exercise in skin-on-skin. A wolf would have pranced playfully in front of him, turning her body toward his with a flirtatious sideways flick of her head, rubbing against him as she put her chin on his back and breathed him in. She would have been aroused in heat, presenting, first her back and shoulders, then her ass, and lower, teasing his lupine senses with her sweet, wet heat. And he would have mounted her, pushed her down on all fours until he had her pinned, her legs spread to accommodate him as he eased himself inside, covered her and drew his cock through her feminine slickness in a primal rhythm, his balls slapping against her ass, his fingers curling into her hips, and his arms wrapped around her ribs. One final thrust locking deep inside her, his penis swelling and engorging with blood. Tomorrow night. The truck's motor coughed to life, and she disappeared down the road. He wanted to pace her, track her. She was his. He wasn't all wolf, he was still part man. He was Rafer Bro for at least a little longer. He held on to that knowledge desperately. Chapter 2. The Bayou Camp was a ramshackle collection of houseboats and tin-roofed cabins perched precariously on stilts above the black waters. None of Rafer's brothers needed much space. One room each and a covered deck was more than enough. The bayou's storms and heat had weathered the cypress wood to silvers and grays until the cabins almost disappeared into the thick sheets of Spanish moss hanging from the surrounding trees. This deep in the bayou there were no accidental visitors, and a man could always see the enemy coming. Given what liked to come hunting for the bros, that isolation was a damned good thing. Blue moon's coming. Landry tossed the observation out like the Bro brothers weren't all painfully aware of the moon's cycles. He stretched out his booted feet, tipping his head back to stare up at the sky. Rafer figured they both knew he'd spent the morning reconning the market. The waiting was never easy. Tomorrow night. Landry's smile was slow and knowing. I'm ready for a run. You think that moon will find one of us a bride? Or all of us? Dre's wicked suggestion wasn't impossible, was, in fact, the best possible outcome for tomorrow's hunt. The entire pack hunted for the blue moon bride, but what happened when the chase ended was up to the woman. Some mates preferred to stick one-on-one with their chosen wolves, but others welcomed a little adventure, and those women might choose more than one. If the woman at the market turned out to be the bride, Rafer had no idea how she would feel about loving an entire wolf pack. Hell, just one of them would be a handful.
"A man can hope," Landry drawled. "We got any idea who she might be?"
Only the moon would tell them for certain, but she had to be close.
"I got some idea," Rafer admitted.
"Pretty?" Dre asked.
"Better she be real sweet,"
Landry argued. "Seeing as how she's going to be putting up with a bunch of wolves, sweet would be good."
"Yeah, but a woman needs more than sugar if she's going up against the skin hunters."
Dre reached for the pile of netting mounded up by the side of the houseboat.
"She's not fighting anyone."
Rafer bared his teeth, battling the urge to shift. Hell no, she wouldn't fight. The vamps were hitting harder and more often, and Rafer had heard rumblings that there were no packs left in Europe now. The vamps had slaughtered every one of the remaining wolves there. The last wolf he encountered who'd been attacked by vamps had still been alive. The vampires had peeled off his skin and left him. Dying didn't get much uglier than that. Being pack meant being near immortal, but if the wolf couldn't shift, the wolf couldn't heal the injuries. The wolf had died soon after they'd found him.
"You want to bring her to the camp?"
Dre didn't look up from the shrimping net he'd stretched over his legs, fingers flashing in and out of the green nylon. Later this week, after the hunt was over, he'd take his fishing boat downriver, trawling for shrimp with his twin Landry. The twins did everything together.
"What's wrong with here? She'd be safe."
Rafer eyed the deck of his houseboat, but damned if the place didn't look the same as always. Hell, he'd even kept the tin roof because, yeah, he was a 300-year-old werewolf who liked the drumming of the rain on the sheet metal, and the cabins were more outside than in anyhow. The boat rolled softly now as the bayou water stirred beneath the cypress planking. He'd made her by hand 50 years ago. She was good and strong, got him where he needed to go, and gave him a roof over his head at night. Sure wasn't like any Pottery Barn catalog, but he'd seen worse.
"You got to ask. You got a problem," Landry drawled. "Our bride, she's a female, right? So maybe she takes one look at this fine place of ours and runs the other way, yeah?"
"She runs. We'll catch her again." Satisfaction filled Dre's voice, and Rafer agreed. Chasing was good. As long as the bride was on board with that plan, there was nothing good about chasing a woman who didn't want to be chased.
"And then she'll run, and you'll be all rinse and repeat."
Landry shot a mischievous glance towards Luke.
"You ask Luke here. He's still looking for the female he misplaced."
Luke never talked about that other night. The night 10 years ago that the blue moon had come up and he'd run alone, come back alone. All he'd said was that he'd found his mate and lost her.
"Crazy,"
Luke growled, looking up from the boat engine he was working on.
"You're all crazy, damned moon."
"This is a good place." Rafer bared his teeth. "We built it, we hold it. You want to bring tomorrow's blue moon bride somewhere else?" Landry picked up his end of the net, patiently pulling the strings taut.
"Nowhere else to take her? I'm just saying she's not getting the Ritz-Carlton here, or the honeymoon suite. Some women, they have a vision for this night. They want things to be a certain way."
"Hell." Rafer's fingers tightened on the blade he was sharpening.
"We'll give her everything we've got."
"What if it's not enough?" Landry closed a hole in the net.
"It will be."
It had to be. Everything depended on tomorrow's hunt. Dag and Jackson were still in wolf form, sprawled on the outer edges of their camp, on that edge between home and the swamp. Jackson was the baby, and he'd shift back when he damn well felt like it. Rafer wasn't so sure about Dag.
"Who do you think it is?"
There was no way to know for certain before the blue moon rose and drew a path to her,
but the wolves had always been able to guess. Their bride would have strong ties to the bayou. She'd belong here, and with them. Lark Andrews. Luke's gaze met his. You know who she is. You watched her long enough today. The need came back hard, twisting through him. Christ, he hoped it was her. Miss Dixie's granddaughter. Dre volunteered the information, his eyes watching Dag. He was concerned, too. That whole family was voodoo way back. Maybe this one's the same way. You think she knows about the blue moon and the hunt? Rafer didn't know what to hope for. If she knew and she ran, the hunt would be fine. If she knew and didn't run, his hopes for the pack were over before they'd even begun. If she refused to run, he'd lose his opportunity to convince her to take a chance on them. Christ, he wanted that chance. Dre smiled. If she don't, she will now. She's been talking to Mama Jolie. That old woman was a voodoo priestess in old, old bayou. She knew secrets about his kind and the loup-garou. Hell, she knew all of the bayou, good and bad. If she wanted, Mama Jolie could make their bride run fast and hard, far enough from the bayou that they'd never find her. And that wasn't happening on Rafer's watch. They needed this bride, needed the chance she represented. Mama Jolie talks her ear off. This hunt doesn't happen. Dre was definitely in a mood to cause trouble. She has to know, Rafer repeated stubbornly. Lark Andrews had a bright, laughing face. She was a happy woman, and nice. Too damn nice. He'd seen her put aside those flowers for Mama Jolie. What would it be like to have her here, laughing with him? We're not going to hurt her, Luke promised. The Blue Moon hunt was a darkly erotic game. The pack had always played with women who knew the score, and that meant Rafer wouldn't chase Lark Andrews until he heard her agree. She had to know what the rules of the game were. Once she knew, he'd be happy to chase her until he caught her. He shoved to his feet, setting the knife aside. Dre frowned. Where are you going? Shopping. He tossed the words over his shoulder, striding down the dock to his boat. Don't you think our bride deserves flowers? The man tying up at Lark's dock was gorgeous. Broad-shouldered, Cajun, and dark, he was a giant of a man. God, that was a bro for you. There was no missing the impressive erection he sported, either. Apparently, she had the same effect on him he had on her. Wet heat blossomed between her legs. His eyes were fierce, an ice gray that melted as he examined her face. For a fleeting moment, he'd looked like a cold-blooded killer and a predator. Now he just looked hungry. For her. He wore a pair of faded jeans, but otherwise he was barefoot and bare-chested. He made absolutely no pretense at being civilized, and yet she couldn't help herself. She breathed in the clean male scent of him and wanted him on sight. He stood motionless at the end of her dock, where he had tied up his boat, frozen in an almost predatory stillness, as if he wouldn't move until she gave some unspoken signal, as if he believed she might be afraid of him. The only thing she feared for now was her virtue. His bare chest had her heating right up, and when she dropped her gaze to the denim-covered thighs, she almost went up in flames. Dear God, they grew them hot in the bayou. The sweet flush of arousal sweeping through her was better than any date she'd had with her vibrator. A slow, masculine smile tugged at his lips, and he strode toward her 6+ feet of rugged Cajun man. Her mind promptly took a detour into fantasy land. And yet he seemed more familiar than her few long-distance glimpses of his family warranted. "Have we met?" she asked. "Not yet." That honeyed accent made listening to him pure pleasure. "Lark Andrew," she said, holding out a hand. He wrapped her fingers in his, turning her palm up and stroking the lines there with his thumb. "Rafer bro." His fingers tightened briefly on hers. "You come in from the bayou?" Sidetracked by her libido, her brain produced an inanity to help the conversation along. He didn't look like he minded much, though. "Sure did." His caramel drawl was sinful. Do a little fishing, a little hunting.
He watched her, clearly waiting for her to say something.
What can I do for you today?
She took a step backward. Heat blasted off him. She turned and headed back up the dock, knowing instinctively that he'd follow. Sure enough, he was close on her heels.
I want...
His voice was hoarse, deep, sexy as hell, like he didn't speak often and made it count when he did.
Flowers.
He finished, and for a moment she wondered if he'd intended to substitute another word, another desire, and damned if that didn't make her wetter. The walk to the greenhouse was too short. Her thighs clenched with need, her pussy drenched because he was right behind her. She had the strangest sensation of being stalked by a wild animal, but she didn't feel threatened. The warm flush of desire was so unlike her. She wanted to wrestle him to the ground, mark him, and claim him as hers. He didn't speak again until they reached the first greenhouse.
You alone here?
She waved a hand at the other people working in the yard and fields.
Does it look like I'm alone?
Family. His hand shot out over her head, pushing open the door for her. She had to duck under that hard arm.
I'd heard Miss Dixie passed on.
The pain was still there, a softer stab now rather than a bright, hard hurt. She missed her grandmother.
You really don't get out of the bayou much, do you?
He followed her down the greenhouse's narrow aisle, and she should have been nervous, but wasn't. He was large and too close, a predator on her heels, and that was ridiculous. He was just a man, an almost neighbor who simply lived deeper inside the bayou than she did.
No, he said quietly, I don't leave the bayou much anymore.
And yet he'd come to her for flowers. She stopped by a wooden table loaded with the fragrant sweet pea.
What's the occasion?
He looked at her, but didn't answer. Maybe it was one of those bayou things. She probably didn't need to know, but damn it, he intrigued her. She wanted to learn more about her bayou man.
What do you need the flowers for?
She asked again, finding the dark flush of color on his face strangely endearing. An evening out?
Something like that.
He agreed. He struck her as a man who knew precisely what he wanted, but maybe flowers weren't his thing. Choosing for him wouldn't be a problem. She reached for the scissors.
You're going to get grower's choice.
That slow smile was back in his eyes.
You can always choose for me, Cher.
He propped a hip against her work table and watched her cut, his eyes following her hands. She cut slowly, selecting her favorites.
This one has a pretty scent,
she suggested, handing him a slim spray of flowers. He took the stem from her, his fingers touching hers, deliberately. The soft, rough brush of his callous skin against hers kicked the heat in her belly and lower, up a notch. She'd have to change her panties after he left. His eyes flared as if he knew, which was impossible.
This one's sweet.
He agreed, leaning forward and tucking the stem into the bouquet she was building. The sexy look of concentration on his face as he maneuvered the flower into place, big fingers stroking down the petals, almost overruled her sensible side. She didn't know him. If Rafer Bro rarely left the bayou, well, she never went in the bayou. He pulled his hands away, but not before she got a good look at the nicks and scars carving up his fingers. Knives, fishing lines. She didn't know what would mark a man so deeply, but his hands were strong and capable, a road map of doing what had to be done. Some primitive part of her responded to the way he wore his scars like a badge of honor. He was strong. She reached for a sheet of lacy paper, rolling the flowers up into a neat cone. They were almost done here. He'd leave, get back in his boat, and return to the bayou. And for some reason she wanted to prolong the moment, keep him with her. He turned away, examining another table loaded with lilies. The stargazers filled the greenhouse with their lush, exotic scent.
These, he said, reaching out.
Don't touch. Too late. He jerked back, head swinging around to hers, frozen with his fingers brushing the stamen, like he'd done something far worse than touch a flower.
no touching. His deep voice was more growl than anything.
You got it, Cher.
They stain, she explained awkwardly. Grabbing a damp cloth from the table, she took his hand in hers before she could think too much, swiping carefully at the pollen. His hand was warm and firm, deliberately relaxed in hers. Despite her best efforts, the stamen left a dark orange-red streak on the masculine hand cradled in hers. Curious, she ran a finger over his palm, blinked. She thought she'd seen something, a strange shimmer and a hint of fur.
I need to tell you something.
He paused, his gaze pinning hers. She let go of his hand and retreated backward a step.
I need you to listen to me, Cher.
Okay. She cut stargazers, giving the pollen-heavy stamens a bit of hairspray to hold the pollen in before adding the fragrant buds to Rafer's bouquet. When his hand on her arm gently turned her to face him, the greenhouse felt too small. She felt too feminine, and yet she could see the farm's other workers through the glass walls, so everything had to be okay. She didn't feel threatened. He was big and dominant, but he was being deliberately careful.
"You changed your mind about the flowers?" she asked, lightly.
"No."
An indecipherable look flashed over his face.
"Your Nana never talked to you about the families living out in the bayou?"
She lived almost a lifetime here on the bayou. The Bro brothers weren't entirely unfamiliar, although she'd never had more than a passing glimpse of one brother or another before they'd been gone. Spotting them had been like spotting a wild animal. A quick flash that had her doubting her eyes, and then nothing. The men blending seamlessly into their bayou surroundings and disappearing. She didn't even know how old they were. They were fine-looking men, and at least one of them had to be her age, but she'd met none of them in school. Some of those old bayou families didn't bother with a formal education, so she'd thought nothing about it. She hadn't met them in town or at the market either. The Bro brothers were a mystery, 6 feet of tall, dark mystery.
Sure, she talked.
She stared at the lacy scrap of ribbon she'd tied around the paper-wrapped bouquet. That stab of pain was back. Her grandmother wouldn't be telling any more stories.
She tell you about my brothers and me?
She mentioned you bros. A smile spread across her face.
Once or twice.
He nodded.
She warned you about us. That's a good thing there.
She shrugged, testing the string. She didn't want his flowers to blow apart on that boat of his. God knew how far into the swamp he lived.
Not really. Just said you and your brothers were trouble, and I should run like crazy if you ever came knocking on my door.
Run. He shook his head. That's the last thing you should do, Cher. Don't run unless you mean it. He stepped forward, trapping her between him and the work table.
Are you planning on hunting me down?
She said the words lightly, but the sensual tension in the room ratcheted up. He suddenly seemed larger, more feral.
Of course, he said.
She looked for the laughter in his eyes, but there was none. She could almost swear he was serious.
We like to hunt, and we do everything together.
A zing of heat hit her at his words. He couldn't possibly mean everything.
You know about the blue moon?
He asked.
I've heard of it.
She'd heard stories, warnings. Her mother didn't want her anywhere near the bayou. Those stories couldn't be true, and yet nothing seemed impossible anymore. The bayou was a place for dark magic. She fingered the gree-gree Mama Jolie had given her.
Wolves go out hunting during the blue moon.
He watched her intently, his face turned toward hers.
That doesn't have anything to do with me.
She wondered if he could smell the lie. His big body didn't move.
If you say so, Cher.
He reached down beside her, picking up the paper cone of flowers.
What do I owe you?
Nothing. Consider them a gift. She licked dry lips, unsure of what to do next, of how to handle this inexplicable, intense attraction to a stranger. He was so alive and certain, so completely out of her league.
That's real nice of you.
He moved swiftly, leaning into her before she could so much as blink.
his heavy weight pinned her against the table as his hand came up and cupped the side of her jaw.
"May I?" God, she'd let him do anything he wanted.
"May you what?"
"Touch you,"
he said hoarsely. He didn't kiss her, not quite. His face pressed against the skin of her throat, her head falling back in a strangely vulnerable gesture. He inhaled roughly, his breath a hot brand on her ear, his mouth moving over her jaw to the corner of her mouth. To her eternal embarrassment, she moaned. She wanted more. More Rafer, more touches. He stepped away, the flowers cradled gently in one massive arm.
"Tomorrow night, you stay home, stay inside your Nanan's place. You'll be fine, or..."
His voice dropped lower, a heated drawl.
"You come on out and see us. We'll be hunting."
He turned and headed down her dock, back out into the bayou, but he'd be back. She knew it. Chapter 3. The sun tucked down behind the horizon of the gulf, and the bayou night exploded into life around the pack. Egrets shot out of the cypress trees with their veils of silvery moss escaping up into the night. Expanding his senses, Rafer sucked in the heavy air, content to simply feel for a moment. A long fucking moment. He was sensually aware of the blue moon rising above them, filling the sky with possibilities. Those soft, light-filled rays were like fingers stroking him, deep inside him. His wolf whined to be set free. Hunt. Seek. Find. As soon as the moon cleared the tree line,
"I have a good feeling about tonight's hunt."
Crouched beside him, Dag tipped his own head back and eyed the sky. Water lapped against the bank where they'd tied up, lending the boat a seductive rock as the hull rolled with the unseen current. The swamp was a dark shadow surrounding them, the water beneath them hiding secrets. The night world here was one of power, where all of the bayou came out to play, to hunt. Rafer tore his gaze away from the blue moon. The whole admire nature thing was foreign to him, but the unexpectedly vivid blue shadows playing out over the surface of the full moon demanded his attention. His brother stood next to him, looking up at the blue moon, stroking his thumb over the edge of his hunting knife. Maybe he felt that sensual pull, too. Dag didn't look any different. He sported his usual military-style cargo pants, a worn T-shirt stretched over his broad shoulders, and a pair of shit-kicker boots. Standard dating wear for the pack. Hell, Rafer didn't look any different himself. He ran a hand over his short hair, wondered what the woman they hunted tonight would think. There was a reason he almost never left the bayou. He and his brothers were big, mean, dark-haired brutes. On the outside, there was nothing pretty about them, or gentle. He didn't know what was on the inside, man or animal or some combination of the two. That blue moonlight had all his senses coming alive, however, and he wanted desperately to know if she was the bride the moon had picked out, Lark Andrews. Moon or no moon, he'd want to go back to her farm. He'd want to taste her, eat her up, and make her holler from the pleasure.
"You think we'll find her tonight?"
Rafer voiced the question they all were thinking. Part of his concern was purely selfish. He wanted Lark Andrews, but even if she turned out not to be the woman chosen by the moon tonight, he needed to find this blue moon bride because he knew, they all knew, Dag was running out of time. This was the first time Dag had shifted back from his wolf form in weeks. Soon he wouldn't shift at all, unless Dag found his mate. Rafer was a bastard to even dream of the bride choosing him.
"Yeah."
Male satisfaction filled Dag's voice, which was hoarse from disuse.
"That's how the blue moon works, right? At least one of us finds his mate tonight. Maybe more. Maybe she's the kind who likes to share."
The blue moon brides always had strong connections to the bayou's black magic. Those women were the predestined mates for the pack and the only ones capable of mating and breeding with the wolves. Although the pack sometimes found a hint of a bride's scent, that scent could only be tracked on a night with a blue moon. Over the centuries, fate had sent the pack's very few mates and even fewer blue moons. Maybe that was why, if the woman was willing, she might take two mates, might allow the other pack members to touch, as if nature wanted to compensate for the rarity of their women. A man could dream. The woman they tracked now smelled sweet and soft. The man in him had tried to warn Lark Andrews yesterday that the pack wanted her. He'd wanted her to have that choice, yes or no. Stay inside tonight and stay safe, or come outside to play with them. Play deeply sensual games with six woven kind who'd be happy to sleep with her singly or in a group, with sex or without it, because the pack, his famille, was slowly dying without females. They needed to find their mates, and each day that slipped away was a ticking time bomb, counting down the hours to the pack's ultimate end. A mate grounded her chosen wolf. She was the spiritual and moral anchor that completed him, the missing half they all needed to find because they were unrepentant, soulless bastards who knew how to kill and how to fuck, but not much more. Eventually an unmated wolf stopped shifting back, got lost in his beast form and stayed there because he was all animal and no heart, and nature had clearly figured that out. Dag was close to losing what humanity he had left. Hell, they all were. So tonight Rafer hunted down this mate, and one of his brothers found a chance to be more than merely his wolf. Whoever this woman was, she was far more than a one-night stand or even a lover. She was special, and damned if he wasn't still hoping she was Lark Andrews. Time to get the party started, because Luke was headed back their way. He'd slipped out of the boat a half hour ago to do a final recon. The moon had drawn them here, but he wanted to be damned sure he hadn't lured the pack's enemies also. Luke, as their oldest brother and alpha, pulled his T-shirt over his head first, closing the distance in an obvious all-clear. They'd strip and stash their clothes here in the boat. Easier to come back, since the shift shredded anything they wore. The moon bathed them all in the blue light. A visceral need punched him in the gut, fire tearing through him, lighting up both his senses and his cock. Find. Time to hunt. His wolf surged to the surface, even the brief effort to fight back the change making his voice guttural and rough. He wanted to run, nose to the ground, as his senses strengthened in that unnatural light. The blue moon's rays were delicious cocktease. The question left Rafer's mouth before he could bite back the words. "You got a definite direction?" Beside him, Jackson perked up. Jackson was the Omega, lowest man in the pack's hierarchy. He didn't usually contribute to these convos, but he sure as hell listened in. "Yeah." Luke rattled off a list of coordinates like Rafer was going to plug the fucking numbers into a GPS, then shrugged. "But I'm thinking we want Lark Andrews. Hers is the only family out that direction." He turned to the others, his gaze inscrutable. "Rafer here knows the way just fine." Luke had come to the same conclusion he had. Lark Andrews was the one. Such a pretty name. Delicate, full of loops and curls and vowels that made her name sound like a song. The last name wouldn't matter once she'd joined the pack. Last names were for the purely human, and she'd become a bro like the rest of them anyhow, but he could imagine calling that name as he drove himself deep inside her. Lark. Inexplicable happiness flooded him. She was the one. "She picks," Luke said, and there was no missing the warning in his voice as the pack gathered around. All six of them, which made their pack too damn small, but Lark Andrews would help them fix that problem. "Once we find her, you all back off and let her choose which one of us she wants to mate with." "The bride can pick anyone?" Luke slid a glance toward Jackson when the younger male spoke up, and the Omega quickly dropped his eyes. "Anyone or no one?" His gaze shot to Dag. "That's her right, and tonight we're playing by the rules. The running? That's a real fun thing." A wicked grin lit up his face. But that's the game. She don't want to play with us, she don't have to. You don't chase after she says no.
Luke's own mate had run from him. He didn't talk about that night, but his mate had never come to live with the pack, which was red flag number one. Mates always lived with their packs. Always. But choice was even more important. Like their wilder four-legged brethren, the pack lived free. Free to go or to leave the pack. Free to run as a lone wolf or to search out a new pack to join. As a mate, Lark would be an honorary wolf, and wolf rules applied.
Ready?
Luke made the word sound like a question, but it wasn't. Luke was Alpha, and that made his word law. Rafer might be second in command, but he still answered to Luke. Luke said they hunted. They hunted.
Sure am.
Dag whistled as he stripped off, as unconcerned by his nudity as the rest of them were. The pack was unabashedly sensual, and nudity was simply part of their life, as was the need to touch. To lie skin to skin with each other, wrapped up in the scents and textures and feel of their packmates. Luke was watching Rafer, though, which meant his alpha knew Rafer had reservations. Still, he hadn't expressed them, and he'd keep it that way. Those icy gray eyes didn't need to be crawling up his ass, because Rafer knew precisely how important this hunt was.
"We're good,"
he said. He figured his alpha didn't need decorative words, and true enough, the other male nodded curtly and backed the fuck off from his beta, although not without a parting shot.
"We're going to take good care of her. She won't regret this if she chooses to come on home with us."
Luke's words were a promise, but they all knew the truth. The skin hunters would also be hunting for the Blue Moon Bride. The same moon that drew the wolves drew their enemies as well, but the vamps wouldn't be playing an erotic game of chase me, catch me. The vamps would be out to kill.
Fuck.
Rafer was tired of nothing but bad memories. He wanted something new, something sweet. The promise of honey and sage teased him, followed him as he shifted with a grunt into his wolf form. His wolf was large and gray, the dark fur almost black. Larger than natural wolves with 100+ pounds of pure muscle, he knew precisely where he stood in his pack, second only to his alpha, and only that because neither of them knew who would win if he challenged. Rafer didn't want that role, didn't want to hold all their lives in his hands. Baring his canines, he inhaled sharply. The night air smelled good, clear and crisp this far from the human cities. He scented other wolves, smaller animals. Prey. In his wolf form, he was pure predator, but he forced himself to ignore the delicious tendrils of fear and panic from the smaller creatures he ran past. Those playthings were safe tonight. He was after other prey. Human prey. Nose to the ground, he picked up the trail easily and broadcast his discovery to his brothers in a low, long howl. She'd hear, too. He knew that. And if she was as smart as he suspected, she'd know he was coming for her. And she'd run, or she'd stay. It was time to hunt. Time to hope that Lark Andrews was ready to choose.
Oh, God, God, God!
She chanted the name like a litany. The wolf pack surrounded her, backing her up against the bottom of the cliff as the ocean crashed and shouted, teasing her with the promise of temporary safety a mere 20 yards away. No way could she cover the sand between here and the water. Not before the wolves took her down. Plus, once she hit the water, what then? The night air was cool enough that she could see her breath hanging in front of her in a white cloud. If she got in that water, she'd have to swim out and pray the wolves couldn't follow. Maybe she'd buy herself a handful of 2 short minutes before the hypothermia kicked in, and that was only if the waves didn't drive her onto the rocks. Drowning might be an easier death. Fingers trembling, she fumbled in her backpack for a lighter. Found matches. God, she shouldn't have quit smoking. Jamming the handheld torch between her arm and her side, she ripped a match off the crumpled book. The head snapped off.
No.
The circle of wolves tightened, drawing closer. She'd swear they were stalking her. Maybe they were.
Wolves hunted in packs, didn't they? Still, there was no mistaking the shadows of the large, powerful bodies moving closer as those golden eyes watched her. Fear surged through her, no match for the adrenaline that had sent her running. She was going to die out here, and it wasn't going to be pretty. The match blazed to life right before the ocean breeze knocked her flame flat on its ass. The spark died abruptly. Well, shit. The largest wolf stepped toward her, and he was a big, big motherfucker. He had to outweigh her by maybe 50 pounds. "I'm not going to taste good," she growled. "So you all should back off now." No surprise, the wolf kept on coming. She'd swear the beast was laughing at her. She slid the hunting knife from its place on the side of her pack. One blade wouldn't be enough. Plus, she'd never stabbed a living creature before. There had to be a first time for everything, though, and this was a do-or-die moment if she'd ever seen one. She got the blade up and kept her eyes on the wolf's face. The wolf lunged. Lark shot upright in her bed, legs tangled in the cotton sheet. The room was quiet, filled with the soft shush of the fan overhead, but fear plastered her chemise to her soaked skin. Wolves. She'd had too many dreams about wolves lately. Mama Jolie's words haunting her, perhaps. "You beware the wolves, Shah. They gon' eat you up." The digital clock beside the bed blinked midnight, and she needed to go back to sleep, but the dreams were too vivid. Instead, standing up, she headed for the window, fanning herself against the sultry nighttime heat. The world outside was as unfamiliar as the dreams, the yard bathed in an otherworldly blue light that cast sensual shadows. Unfamiliar, but strangely beautiful. She pressed her fingers against the window screen. She wanted to go out there, bask in the light. Mama Jolie had promised the blue moon was coming, and come it had. If she stepped out of her house, what would happen next? Her bare feet slapped against the floor, and she was moving before she realized it. A handful of seconds later, she'd opened the front door and slipped onto the porch, where the heat gathered, thick and wet, full of night scents. The creamy white magnolias filled the air with a lush fragrance. Fallen flowers covered the ground with a carpet of soft petals, and a doe lifted her head from her midnight snack when she sensed Lark's presence. The sensuality of the night was like a lover stroking her, preparing her, opening her up for his touch. Her toes curled into the old smooth wood. "They gon' eat you up." Could the stories be true? Did she want them to be? The house was at her back, waiting for her, but the bayou spread out before her, promising something. Something sweet and hot and raw. She fingered the gree-gree, then dropped it over her head between her breasts. Her hand skimmed lightly over her ribs, cupping the sleep-warmed skin. She wanted male hands on her skin, male hands pressing her down. But she was alone. The dark shouldn't have been so lonely, not when the night-blooming flowers opened beneath the moon's silvery blue light. Everything was different. Her senses came alive, and she could think, breathe. The moon rose up over the gulf, spilling its clear blue light over the bayou's surfaces. There had already been one full moon that month, which made this one special, unusual. The blue color could have been the result of fires or ash or a volcano erupting somewhere. Somehow, instinctively, she knew this moon was none of those. This moon was something out of the ordinary. Beautiful. A long, low howl filled the air. A dog out hunting. The feral, determined note, still several miles away, had her head jerking around, instinctively searching for the source. That cry was pure predator. Hungry. Hunting. That wasn't a dog. The sound barreled toward her, the volume increasing, and she backed up instinctively. Wolves. The loup-garou were a story. She'd go out there, and 10 to 1, she'd find animals, not men. Certainly not shape-shifting men. Yet Rafer's dark face haunted her. That face had contained an animal hunger and something more. He was one sexy beast, and she'd wanted him. Maybe she'd run for Rafer Bro, make him work for her, make him catch her. Ducking back inside, she grabbed her running shoes and changed quickly. There was more than enough moonlight to see to run. She'd go out, stretch her legs. Rafer's voice replayed in her head. "Don't run, Cher. Not unless you want me to chase you." Maybe that was exactly what she wanted tonight. Stepping off the porch, she began to run. Chapter 4. Rafer moved swiftly upwind. Exultation pounded through him. He'd shifted, and for the first time in centuries the man controlled the beast. He ran on all fours, but his mind was still clear, in control. He knew that scent, knew to whom the blue moon pulled him so inexorably, Lark Andrews. He'd warned her, and she'd run. She'd chosen this path. His Lark wasn't making this an easy run. He'd closed the gap between them until she ran only a mile ahead of him now. He pushed himself faster, the ground a rocky blur beneath his paws. The deliberate, heavy rhythm of the run mimicked another, more primal act. Man on woman, in and out, up and down. The pack split up, fanning out to cut off her exits as they surrounded her. Only way she could go now was forward, and then she'd hit sand. He threw back his head and howled, calling his brothers, calling the pack together. Lark Andrews was the one. She was strong, and she was caring, both qualities his pack needed, and her laughter lit him up inside. He liked the way she looked at the world, looked at him. She hadn't judged him when he'd tied up at her dock, barefoot and shirtless, simply asked him what he needed and given it to him. Her flowers were waiting for her, a welcome feminine note in the all-male camp, and there was no denying the heated attraction between them. His memories of that almost kiss in her greenhouse were killing him. He wanted more than that one taste. Half a mile now. Her scent grew stronger, and the damned moonlight was one intense wave of color. That same moonlight picked out the path she'd taken, but he wouldn't have missed the honey and sage sweetness of her, even without the soft blue lighting up the headlands. She smelled of growing things and earth, as if that part of the day she spent planting and digging stuck with her. The blue moon built the fragile connection between them, feeding him the emotional impressions of her earlier passage along the trail. Here she'd stopped to touch that piece of yellow lupine, stroke the long yellow spray of flowers with her finger before moving on. By tomorrow, when the moon had set, that tenuous connection would be gone, replaced by a more raw and primitive connection. She'd have chosen a mate and bonded with that lucky male. She'd be pack. His wolf reveled in the sensuous beat of the moonlight, the delicious scent of the female. Mine, mine, mine. So Rafer collected the emotional scraps, the teasing impressions of a woman who was earthy and sweet and lonely, learning what might please her so she chose one of them instead of none of them. She meant everything to his famille. So he'd bring her home. Focus. Dag brushed past him, moving fast. He ran in his wolf form as always, a creature of primal beauty and raw power, but not human. They all needed mates, but Dag most of all. There was almost nothing left of the man inside that body, just the wolf running hot on the trail of Lark Andrews. Rafer raised his brother neck and neck. The part of him that was still man was losing the battle to stay in control. His wolf side insisted he get there first, be the first. The man didn't like those possessive images and remembered the blue moon bride always had a choice. She might have run, she might be playing this game with them, but she could end it all with one word. No. Yet the erotic heat thrumming through his body demanded only one possible ending for tonight's chase. He wanted to catch her, pin her, mount her, and take her. He wanted. Exploding out of the brush, he spotted his prey. The presence of a wolf pack on the Louisiana headlands was impossible. There hadn't been wild wolves in Louisiana in decades, but, undeniably, the blood-curdling wolf howl filled the air behind her. That sound warned her all too clearly that the wolf pack had her scent and were beating feet to catch up with her. They would, too. If she cut off the narrow path, she faced an uphill run on a slope covered with a thick carpet of lupine. She'd be slower, and she couldn't afford slower right now, not if she wanted to draw this game out. That left down where the bayou ended, spilling toward the beach and the ocean. A wolf growled, closer, and adrenaline shot through her. Running through the night was a dark thrill, a leap of faith. She ran, and fuck the consequences. She'd never felt so alive. Probably this run was stupid and she'd regret it tomorrow, but right now she had this moment. The trail took a sudden nosedive and she glanced behind her. No wolves yet, but they were definitely driving her somewhere. Her heart pounded loudly in her ears while her breath tore from her in hoarse, ragged gasps. Stopping wasn't an option. The path dropped abruptly, and she slid, rocks and scrub tearing at her hands as she cartwheeled in a futile bid to stop herself. She was briefly airborne, and then her feet and butt hit sand. Hard. Her eyes had adjusted to the dark at some point, enough to make out the pocket beach where she'd landed. The howl behind her warned her she hadn't shaken her pursuers, either. Game on. Pushing to her feet, she turned, trying to find an out. No luck. She might not be done running, but there was nothing here but sand and dunes, and the steep, rocky side of the headlands shutting in the strip of beach. Her lungs burned, and the stitch in her side had her doubling over as the cramp tore through her. No way to be quiet, so she gratefully sucked in deep, gulping breaths of air while she could. A heavily muscled body shot in front of her, cutting her off and jolting her back to awareness of her surroundings. She screamed as fur brushed her and went hard left. Dead end. God, let Mama Jolie be right. These had to be the Bro Brothers, or she was in trouble. Her fingers grasped the gree-gree and heat surged through her body. She'd brought along her taser because insurance was a good thing, but against this many wolves, the taser would be almost useless. Still, she'd come out here to take a chance because she was done with sitting around, unable to stop the bad shit from coming, helpless to change her life. The Bro Brothers, if these wolves were them, would be one hell of a change. "You boys had better not be toying with me," she said, and took a step forward. Lark Andrews knew. Satisfaction roared through Rafer. Never mind that she promptly raised the taser she held like the device was a wine glass and she was toasting her guests. She knew, or she'd guessed, or she'd connected the dots between his veiled hints yesterday at the farm, and she'd come out to play with them. "You all come meet my insurance policy," she invited. He had every intention of doing something. His wolf moved forward swiftly. Hair fell over Lark's face as she scrambled back instinctively to avoid him. Brown eyes flashed and she tucked her chin, tightening her grip on the taser she hung on to like a damned lifeline. His wolf adored the fierceness of her face, even as her small, delicate hands aroused his protective instincts. She might be running, but she was stubborn, defiant. Whatever she'd fled from on her farm, she decided to run toward the Bro Brothers, toward him. Rafer wanted to lick her from head to toe, taste her pretty skin, learn where she was warm, where she burned, because when he inhaled, his senses were flooded with another more intimate scent, feminine, sun-kissed heat. He threw his wolf at her, pushing her backwards, crowding her smaller body with his own. She went, because he was bigger, stronger, and meaner. She went, but she cursed like a trucker, and her taser was perilously close to singeing his fur. Hell, he didn't mind playing the game by her rules, but she needed to tell him what those rules were. He was dominant here, and if she wanted to go head-to-head with him, he'd push right back. Her behavior was almost that of a wolf challenge. Maybe she was hunting his pack on her own terms, and maybe he'd enjoy coaxing her to submit to him. Clearly he had his work cut out for him, because the pack's newest mate was no submissive. Shoving at his wolf, damned if she didn't try to get past him and launch herself at the other wolves. As he placed himself between his alpha and the human woman, Rafer couldn't help but notice that curvy body. She was petite, her head no more than shoulder high on him when he was in his human form, and rounded in ways that made a man think about touching, and then touching a bit more. Soft and sweet. Unless, of course, she got herself killed challenging their alpha. She should have backed up and dropped her gaze. Instead, she'd palmed a taser and thrown herself into the fight. Luke was the only wolf not in the running for the title of mate. He'd already found his, even if he'd lost her. She'd run, and run fast, and Luke hadn't bothered going after her. Yet. So Luke wasn't shopping for a mate, and Lark Andrews needed to back the hell off before she accidentally triggered the wolf's aggressive instincts. Deliberately, Rafer bumped her, and she staggered back a step. Another curse word left her pretty pink lips, and he suddenly wanted to show her exactly what that word meant. God, he was a dirty bastard. But he could smell her excitement, and he knew Lark wasn't afraid. She was playing the game with them. Still, she didn't drop the taser, and there were some rules here. He didn't want to spend the night with all that voltage amping through him, nor was he letting her attack his alpha. When she surged forward, time was up. He wished he could introduce her more gentle-like to his world, but she needed to understand a few basic facts soon. So he shifted, crowding her back with his larger body, because if he slammed into her with the full weight of his wolf form, he'd hurt her.
"You need to stop,"
he growled, working through the change, his voice hoarse after hours spent as the wolf.
"You don't want to take on Luke there."
He fought for control, to overcome that fluid sensation of being suspended in between, stretching, reforming. Tonight, finally, it felt so very right to sink back into his human body, because she was here, touching him. Those stolen moments in her greenhouse had only whetted his appetite. She'd given him a taste, and he wanted more, lots more.
"Oh, my God."
She froze. He watched her visibly connect the dots and come to the conclusion that he'd been the wolf. She'd seen the shadows expand and contract and spit his ass out as a man. A six-foot-plus naked man. Maybe she wasn't a screamer, but her whole face advertised shock.
"You really are shifters."
"Sure, cher,"
he drawled, tension thickening his Cajun accent.
"And I thought your nanan warned you about the bro brothers."
"You look in the mirror lately? I thought she meant you were sex on a stick. Bayou shifters are a whole different league of trouble."
Her back hit the unforgiving hardness of the cliff, and there was nowhere to run. Her breast rose and fell nervously, and when her gaze suddenly moved from his face to the space over his shoulder, he knew the pack was shifting. Her pretty brown eyes widened.
"Good man,"
Dag called from behind him. She stared back at Rafer, though, and his wolf liked that intent look, wondered what else would put it on her face.
"Now what?"
she asked.
"I warned you,"
he said, taking a step forward.
"I told you what would happen if you ran from us tonight."
When she turned, eyeing the cliff's too far top and the pale sprinkling of faraway stars dotting the black sky, he made his move. 2 seconds had him at her back, one hard arm wrapped around her chest up against her throat. If he'd wanted, he could snap her neck in a handful of seconds. He didn't want to hurt her, though. He'd never hurt her. She was his female. Possession was a drumbeat in his veins. Keep her safe. What he wanted was to bury his face in the soft skin beneath her jaw and drink in the scent of her. Wanted to lick her slowly from top to bottom, because holding her like this felt so very right, and yet he knew things were all wrong. Her heart pounded against his arm like a bird trying its damnedest to escape an unexpected cage. He understood the need to fight free too well.
"We need to lose the taser,"
he whispered against her ear. She'd had them pierced with thin gold hoops that circled the tender lobes. Pretty. Her answer was to kick him in the shins and buck hard. That was okay with him. He liked the feel of her ass driving against his cock, and she must not have figured that out, because she didn't stop the rodeo action, just fought harder. The taser still had to go, and she needed to understand who was Alpha here, so he slid his free hand down her arm. The T-shirt she wore left most of her arm bare, and her skin was the smoothest thing he'd ever touched. He could have touched her for hours, but instead he got his thumb on her wrist, his fingers on the back of her hand. He carefully pried the taser from her grasp, one finger at a time. He didn't let her go. "Caught you," he growled in her ear. "Let you," she growled right back. When Luke stalked towards them for one crazy moment, Rafer wanted to peel the lips back from his teeth in primal warning. He didn't want Luke anywhere near his woman, which was pure crazy because Lark wasn't his. She hadn't chose anyone, yet. So he turned her around to face his unmated pack members and asked her the question they all wanted to know the answer to. "Who do you choose? Pick one."
"Hell, pick us all," Dag drawled.
Chapter 5. Pick One. Lark leaned back, savoring the masculine heat pressed up against her. She hadn't had a lover in years, so maybe this feverish need was her subconscious, desperate SOS, because, God, the Bro Brothers were hot. The reality was so much better than the rumors she'd heard. These men focused on her looked hungry, and Rafer Bro had his hands on her, finally.
"You got fantasies, Cher?"
Rafer's words were no question. She let her head hit his shoulder, looking up at him. "Guess you weren't kidding."
"I warned you. We need you,"
he said, his voice low and harsh, as he bent his head to her ear again, like a lover whispering compliments, except she couldn't imagine him doing the pretty. He was too straightforward, too blunt. She liked that. Rafer Bro wouldn't lie to her. His thumb stroked over the pulse in her wrist, and she wrapped her free hand around his. When she tugged, he didn't let go. Around them, the other men moved closer, watching.
"This feels good."
Rafer sounded confident, certain. Suddenly, putting herself in his hand seemed like an excellent idea.
"You want to try us all?"
He made the suggestion like he was holding her plate at a buffet, waiting for her to point and choose.
"You can. No worries."
She shook her head. There were some places she wasn't going tonight, no matter how strange the bayou bred them.
"I don't know your brothers,"
she protested. Amusement colored his words.
"You want introductions? You and I, we know each other."
He made that brief acquaintance of theirs sound intimate. He gestured one of the other men forward. "This here's Dag, the twins, Dre and Landry, and over there are Luke and Jackson. These are my famille." Dag wasn't as tough and mean-looking as the man currently pinning her wrist to her side, and she hadn't overlooked how he held her in place and showed no signs of letting go, but he was still plenty rough around the edges. His short, dark hair was cropped close to his head, drawing her attention to his bronzed skin and the hard lines of his face. He was no playful, laughing lover, and yet the hungry look in his eyes tugged at her.
"Don't you want to play with us?"
Dag pulled her hand away from Rafer, pressing his mouth against her palm. His tongue tasted her, and she felt an answering spasm deep in her womb. His eyes flared as if he knew about that secret arousal.
"Lark Andrews?"
He crooned her name like it was a secret code he'd just unraveled. Part of her knew she should have been concerned. She hadn't given him her name, and yet he knew her.
"I don't do this kind of thing."
"But you could." Rafer eyed her steadily. "If you wanted to. There's nothing wrong with a little touching, a little pleasure, and we could give you a lot of pleasure, Cher. Bring those fantasies of yours to life." She stared down at the male forearm holding her so close, impossibly tempted. Dag smiled slowly.
"We'll make it good."
"We'll be just the littlest bit naughty." There was no misunderstanding the sensual hunger on his face, filling his eyes, or the answering chord that hunger plucked deep inside her. She'd been so very, very lonely. Yes, she decided, relaxing her body against the man who held her. Rafer. He smelled delicious, so for one long moment she stretched against him. He was hard and erect, but when she moved, he froze, as if he was afraid he'd frighten her, when all she wanted to do was reach around and wrap her fingers around him, explore every delicious inch of him. Rafer was a fantasy man, and damned if she didn't deserve a taste of something sweet. It was night. She was lonely, and out here in the dark of the Louisiana headlands, the bayou's black magic surged and pulled at her. There had to be a reason, other than the blue moon, why she wanted a wolf pack and one hell of a sexual game, but right now all she wanted was sex with Rafer Bro. Her desire was a secret pounding heartbeat between her legs. "Yes," she said. The erection tucked against her ass surged, grew longer. She wriggled, testing to see what he would do, what he would let her do. Anything, apparently, because the hands on her hips tilted her, positioned her for the hard, sure stroke, parting her ass through the worn denim of her jeans.
"Bien," Luke rasped. "We take her home with us."
She didn't protest as Rafer swung her up into his arms and carried her to the waiting boat. He was taking her somewhere she wanted to go. The Bro brothers ran their boat up the bayou, gunning the motor over the night-black waterways in an exhilarating ride. Rafer cradled her on his lap, wrapped her tight in his arms, but that was all. He didn't touch her further. Damn him, he made her wait, and that deliciously unfamiliar erotic tension began again, part anticipation and part fantasy. An alligator hit the water with a gunshot-sharp splash off the starboard side, and she squirmed on his lap. His cock pressed back at her behind the sun-faded cargo pants. She wanted the man holding her to lower her to his bed, take her hard and fast, or slow. She'd never been so aware of her own arousal, of the heated fantasies in her head. Rafer was solid and large, the feel of him feeding the need building inside her. Lark leaned back against Rafer's hard chest, fighting the urge to close her eyes, because that would be stupid. She'd stepped into the boat with him and the other Bro brothers, and that probably used up her quotient of stupid for the night anyhow. Besides, when she closed her eyes, all she saw was their faces. Luke and Dag, Dre and Landry, Jackson and Rafer. The heated glitter of desire as they moved in. Men who changed into wolves like she changed shirts. Was she really doing this? These men were the bayou's bad boys. Wickedly sensual and decidedly rough around the edges, they lived by their own rules, and she'd agreed to put herself in their hands? Rafer's arms tightened around her.
"You think too much, Cher."
"Thinking's not a bad thing," she objected. That watchful look was back on his face. Rafer Bro wanted something from her, something more than sex. He rubbed his cheek against her hair, and she didn't know what to make of the simple gesture. Enjoyment? Affection? She did overthink things. She knew that.
"You got to let go,"
he countered roughly. She wasn't touching that, either. Instead, she asked the question that had her nerves dancing a tango with her stomach. "Just how deep in the bayou do you live?" The boat ride was taking too long, and she couldn't begin to imagine how she would leave on her own. Maybe if Rafer kissed her, touched her, she'd forget her nerves. The heated, smoky look in her wolf's eyes said he'd give her those touches and more right now, but she couldn't bring herself to ask for that when his brothers were right there. Some things took working up to. Luke glanced over his shoulder. He and Dag were riding point, crouched in the prow of the boat as they scanned the darkened strands of cypresses lining the waterway. She was certain both men were armed and definitely dangerous.
"Deeper we go, the safer it gets,"
Luke rumbled, before turning his gaze back to the passing landscape. She didn't want to know what men like these worried about.
10 minutes,
one of the twins assured her. He leaned back against the side of the boat, arms extended, fingers hitting the spray. His twin driving the boat kept a sure hand on the motor as he took them straight up the water.
5, if I open her up.
Her driver flashed her a wicked grin.
"You like speed, Shah?
That's fine with me.
She didn't need to speed things up. No, she needed to slow them down.
Rafer grumbled behind her.
Dre, he always goes fast.
Dre, that told her which twin must have been the driver, mouthed a cheerful obscenity, then looked at her and bit back his next words.
Sorry, Shah.
She didn't mind the good-natured cursing. Strangely, his discomfort eased her own. The Bro brothers were nervous, too. Confident and sure on the water, and undoubtedly in bed, they circled around her like they weren't sure what would please her. Funny, but she wasn't sure herself. Landry looked at her and leaned in. His hand on her knee was an unexpected incursion into her space, and she jumped. Rafer stilled behind her and then relaxed, so she gave herself a moment to settle and simply feel the warm weight of that hand. Landry didn't move any further, just left his hand right where it was.
"You know how to drive a boat?"
Landry asked. Her gaze dropped to his sun-darkened fingers and stayed there. His fingers were blunt and strong, cut up some from handling fishing lines, but capable, like the man.
"Sure," she admitted.
"So if you decide you need to leave,
if, and not when, you can take this boat, or I'll take you. All you got to do is ask, okay?"
An answering rumble came from the man holding her.
"She can ask me, too."
"Any of us," Jackson clarified, and they all nodded like something had been decided.
"Right."
Mama Jolie hadn't warned her off the Bro brothers. Rather, she'd encouraged Lark to look twice in their direction. That had to count for something, didn't it? Landry pulled back. An unidentifiable emotion, disappointment, flashed in his eyes.
"Okay," she said.
"Thanks." The boat slowed, and Dre carefully guided them beneath a thick carpet of Spanish moss. The waterway suddenly tightened up, and the next 5 minutes was a complex maze of twists and turns. No way she navigated this unfamiliar on her own. Like he sensed her nerves, hell, he was part wolf, so for all she knew, he smelled her fear. Rafer brushed his mouth over her ear.
"Any one of us will take you back, Cher. We reach the dock, and you decide this was a bad idea? You just say so. All I want for you tonight is pleasure."
"With you," she said.
"That would be a real good start," he agreed.
"A second chance. Or six?"
"Imagine it, Cher,"
Rafer ordered as Dre killed the motor and the boat finally slowed, his voice a harsh, animalistic growl in her ear.
"One of us, two of us, all of us. Just tell us who you want, what you want."
The hunting camp loomed out of the shadows, a collection of boat docks, houseboats, and cabins on crazy-ass stilts planted deep in the dark water where the bayou carved the lush swampland into a maze of rivers. Coming here was insane, and yet she had no regrets.
"All right,"
she said, taking the hand Dag shoved down at her. She let him pull her up onto the dock.
"Dag
and Rafer." Rafer saw the savage satisfaction flood Dag's black eyes. After swinging himself up onto the dock, Rafer picked Lark up again, cradling her against his chest as he carried her to his houseboat. He wasn't ready to let go of her yet, and their boat ride had been too short. When he inhaled, her flowery essence teased his senses. No other male, just detergent and flowers. That was good. This was for her, but he didn't know how his wolf would react if it scented a human male on her things, on her. Except it didn't matter how he felt, did it? He had too many rough edges, so although she wouldn't be choosing him permanently tonight, maybe she'd choose Dag. Dag deserved her, needed her. Still, his own balls tightened as she pressed backwards, unconsciously rubbing her ass against him. He'd soothe her fears, ease the way for Dag to stake his claim. Dag stepped inside the cabin behind them and closed the door. Tonight was about choice, Lark's choice. She'd choose the mate she wanted, so his job was to make sure she wanted a lot. He got her real comfortable on his bed, settling her back against his chest and sliding his hands beneath her T-shirt. She gasped, her hands covering his.
"Just one touch,"
he promised. You don't like this, and I stop. He meant it, too. The muscles in her neck relaxed, and she flowed into him.
Yes.
Her voice was hoarse, but sure.
Okay, then.
He slid the shirt over her head. Her bra was a wicked scrap of white cotton and lace, the cups molding her breasts. Dag moved closer, and Rafer flicked his fingers against the tiny clasp. The cotton cups parted with a whisper of sound, spilling her breasts into his brother's waiting hands.
You're beautiful,
Rafer praised, losing himself in her hair.
You know how pretty you look, letting him tongue those sweet nipples of yours?
She shook her head, her eyes fluttering closed. He would have liked to watch the sensations, the awareness unfolding in her gaze, but if he was fortunate, there would be other nights to watch as she came, if Dag shared. Dag sucked a pink nipple into his mouth and damned if his brother didn't look like a man who just discovered heaven. Her reaction was pure delight, too. She gave a startled cry like she hadn't known such a simple touch could set her on fire. The scent of her arousal flooded the air, and she buried her hands deep in Dag's hair.
Maple sugar sweet,
Dag growled, rocking back on his heels and lifting his head. She whimpered as he took his mouth away from her breast. She didn't want him to go, but Rafer wanted her greedier, so he reached down and slipped her running pants lower. He'd have liked to taste her for himself, but she was still shy. The sight of her in those lacy panties almost had him coming. She was impossibly feminine, lying there, waiting for their touch.
Watch my brother.
He crooned against her skin as Dag finished removing her pants and shoes, and she shuddered, as if his words had a one-way connection to her pussy and he'd lit her on fire.
See how much he wants you, Cher?
Rafer settled his fingers against the back of her neck, cupping her, holding her still for that kiss that was coming. He let his own hand glide down over her stomach and the lacy scrap of her bikini panties until he was touching her. First on top of her panties, then beneath, while her breath caught and her body froze, pushing against his silent demand.
Fuck! The impossible fiery feel of her almost undid him.
His fingers parted her gently, easily dipping into swollen, wet flesh. He'd expected the urgency of the mating heat. He hadn't, however, expected this need to bury himself in her, learn her. Reluctantly, he slid his finger free, making room for his brother. Dag moved between her legs, drawing the soaked scrap of cotton and lace down. She opened up for him with a sigh, as if she'd been waiting for this for too long. Rafer drank in the erotic sight of her pussy, the pale strip of golden hair and the slick wet folds, the teasing moisture of her arousal. She was so wet. Had she already come that evening? His wolf growled, angry someone else might have seen to her, and he nipped her ear. She gasped at the small sting of pleasure pain pushing back into his hold.
You want this?
He said. She had no idea what she did to him, to them all. She needed his pack, even if she wasn't ready to give them the words yet. He wanted to coax, to tease, until she was trembling, too wet to remember all the reasons why she should say no. Before she could protest, Dag sank into her sweet pussy, licking her. Her scent drove Rafer crazy. She rode his brother's tongue, the soft moan slipping from her as her fists tightened by her sides. She liked this, liked his brother's touch, but that wasn't enough. Rafer wanted more, wanted her to let go entirely and lose herself in the orgasm he sensed building inside her.
Fuck, Dag growled. She's so tight.
When Dag tucked a single finger inside her opening, she bucked in Rafer's arms, cried out hoarsely as if the sensations burning through were too much, as if she was afraid. Behind them, the cabin door opened, closed. His pack had joined them. He whispered rough reassurances.
Enjoy this for us, Cher.
He held her in place, anchoring her with his arm, not letting her hide from the pleasure. See us. Her head came up at his whispered command, and he knew she sensed those hot eyes on her, the pack watching from the room's shadows.
Rafer!
She gasped, her eyes widening in shock. He bent his head to hers, the words spilling from his mouth. How pretty she was as she rode his brother's tongue. How he wanted his turn, couldn't wait to taste her. Then, because he had to have some piece of her for himself, he dropped one hand between them. Using her juices, he drew a slick path along the hidden channel of her ass until he found that secret hole and worked his finger against her. Her low, sweet moan told him she liked that. She bucked, taking him deeper inside, the tight ring giving way beneath his penetrating touch. He needed this much of her. His hard-on was killing him, but he wasn't going to sink into her, so he'd take what he could get, coax what pleasure he could. Their alpha took her mouth in a hard kiss when she came riding Dag's mouth in Rafer's finger. "Choose," Luke ordered when he freed her mouth. "Choose a mate." She hesitated, and then, to Rafer's shock, she did. "Rafer," she said, and leaned back. "Give him to me."
Chapter 6. His brothers left, the flimsy door to the houseboat's cabin shutting behind them. The mated pair was heart and soul of the pack. In the wild, the males ran together until one found his female and paired off with her. Then the all-male pack would break up, going their separate ways. If she wouldn't share, wouldn't accept his brothers, that would happen here too. That was tomorrow's challenge. Tonight, all Rafer had to do was love her. Easy enough to do. The houseboat rocked around them, the water moving from here and there in a familiar rhythm. He knew this song, this motion. Somewhere, out in the bayou, a male alligator roared, and a high-pitched juvenile answered. The primitive urge to see to her needs had him stiffening. He hadn't planned this. He'd wanted this night for Dag. Instead, here he was, and honesty compelled Rafer to admit he wanted to mark her as his. Crouching, he spread her out on his bed. Her skin was soft, and he gave in to the urge to run his hands along her arms, over her back. It had been months since he'd had a lover, and his wolf growled with anticipation. The glands in the pads of his feet and hands and beneath his chin swelled, and with each long, telltale stroke, he covered her in his spicy scent. After tonight, there would be no question as to whom she belonged. She was his. She was naked, her pretty body bare for him, the pink flush of feminine arousal, a siren's call he couldn't resist. As soon as he took his hands off her, though, she pushed upright on one elbow. The movement forced the tender curve of her breast against her arm. He wanted to lean down and tongue that hard nipple to push her back down. Instead, he moved away. He wouldn't be an animal, wouldn't fall on her like a beast and take her. He'd be more than his wolf side, even if that meant holding back, when his cock demanded he press closer, slide against her, into her. She inhaled when he left her, rolling over to follow him, as if she too didn't want that space between them any more. Now what? She tugged the edges of his quilt around her, covering up all those delicious curves. He growled before he could stop himself, and her eyes widened. "I like looking at you. Don't cover up, Cher." She stiffened, her fingers tightening on the well-worn flannel. He liked thinking about all that soft brushing against her. Despite his request, however, the quilt didn't move from where she clutched it, suddenly shy. Her brown eyes kept right on watching him, darting between him and the door where his brothers had disappeared. "Are they really gone?" That husky whisper teased his senses like fingers gliding up and down his cock. She hadn't touched him yet, not really. Just the sweet, hot weight of her body pressing back against his as he'd held her while his brother loved her, as he slipped inside her tight ass. The smile tugging at his lips wasn't nice. He didn't feel nice. His desire for this woman was pure torment, and he was going to touch a whole hell of a lot more. He had the entire night to enjoy her, give her pleasure, until she came for him, or drove him fucking crazy with that pleasure. "You don't want the audience, Cher?" Just the two of them now, although he'd give her whatever she needed.
She hesitated and damned if she wasn't actually thinking his suggestion over. Could she accept his pack, enjoy their lush sensuality? Could he be that lucky?
"I've never done that before," she admitted. "I've never let anyone else watch."
He smoothed a hand over her shoulder, letting his fingers find that creamy skin.
"Then tonight's your lucky night, Cher. Whatever fantasies you've been dreaming, you just tell me."
The quilt slipped lower as she looked up at him, and her smile was something else. She lit him up from the inside out with her happy curiosity. He put some distance between them real quick then, got the hell away from her, because he couldn't stay near and not touch her, and she wasn't ready for that, not yet.
"This night is for you," he promised. "Whatever you want, all you have to do is ask."
"Hell yeah." The silence stretched between them while she thought his offer over. Carefully, he collected her clothing from the floor where his brothers had tossed it, folding and setting the small pile neatly to one side. In the morning, she'd be glad to have her clothes. Humans were strangely bashful about their bodies, and as a new mate with an unfamiliar pack, she would be shyer than most.
"Come over here," she demanded just when he thought he'd have to give in and go to her.
Her eyes got real busy watching the clothes he'd set down close enough for her to see, but not close enough to encourage her to do a cover-up, because he wasn't done looking at her. He stalked toward her. At last.
"Make sure you know what you're asking for."
"This is my fantasy," she argued. "I get to decide what happens." His hands fisted on his thighs. He was painfully aware of the thick erection punching up from his groin. Waiting was killing him. Every primal instinct he possessed urged him to take her and mark her so deep with his scent that the pack had no more questions about who she belonged to. He'd be under her skin, in her blood. With every breath his pack took, they'd know. Lark Andrews belonged with him. She eyed him, hungrily. Hell, she was more wolf than he was in that moment.
"Come closer. Be sure, Cher."
He froze, ready to pounce.
"I'm sure."
Liquid warmth pooled in her belly and lower. She couldn't be surer. She'd never had dreams like this, never felt so wickedly sexy. She'd come once already, but watching him move confidently toward the bed made her think once wouldn't be enough. She'd been so alone. The farm consumed every waking minute, and at night all she wanted to do was sleep. No time for a lover, even if she could have found a man willing to play second to Pink Cosmo Farm. She wanted this, wanted Rafer. She relished her sexy awareness of her nudity. Her body was already sure, tuned to the man whose slow glide ate up the empty space between them. Rafer was fiercely beautiful, his face more than half-savage. He wasn't tame. He'd give orders and expect her to follow them. Alpha to her bitch. Just for tonight. That was a game she could play. Just for tonight, letting someone else take charge was a delicious treat. Tomorrow she'd have the bank and the farm and 1,000 other responsibilities to see to. Tonight Rafer wanted to take care of her. She shoved to her feet. Earlier, he'd been all wolf, dominant and sure, his hard hands positioning her for his pleasure. God, she'd never come so fast. She'd meet him halfway now, though, wouldn't wait passively for what he could give her. She wanted to take him, every hot inch of him. Maybe she had a wolfish side, too. He drew her back down onto the quilts, one arm pulling her into his body. The other arm captured her head, his fingers tangling in her hair. She was pinned, dominated, but not trapped. Her hands curled into his powerful shoulders as he kissed her, his mouth covering hers. He stroked, his mouth and tongue devouring hers, as he pressed himself against her hip. She reached for him, needing to wrap her fingers around his cock, but he moved first, capturing her hands above her head, holding her still for him.
"Let me,"
he growled. One big hand cupped her breast. God, there was no forgetting that wicked, knowing touch. Gentler now, his knuckles brushing the tender curve still made her shiver as he stroked upwards. He found her nipple, and sensation shot through her, fiercer and more urgent. He touched her before, but this was better. She could see his face, watch the fierce pleasure consuming him as he concentrated on her exposed skin, his mouth and fingers teasing her flesh. She turned her body into his, pressing herself skin to skin with the man holding her so carefully. He lifted his head, and her pussy clenched in anticipation.
"You know what it was like for me to watch?"
"Tell me," she demanded. The hot spark of emotion in his eyes fed the hunger in her, made her feel impossibly sexy and beautiful, as if tonight she was the center of his universe.
"He touched you first,"
he growled against her ear.
"Dag did."
She couldn't think, couldn't breathe. All she knew was that she wanted more. More Rafer, more of his sensual brand of magic.
"Right here," he rasped. "And you liked it, Cher."
When he cupped her breast, pinching the hard pebble of her nipple, she arched into his touch, demanding that more. He was teasing her when she wanted him now.
"Maybe," she admitted breathlessly. "You made all these sexy noises," he said. "You liked what Dag did to you just fine."
He made her remember, and that was good, but building new memories would be even better. She'd enjoy every single heated moment of this night.
"Sure did," she breathed. "You're going to like it more when I touch you."
His leg parted hers, coarse hair brushing against the sensitive skin of her inner thigh.
"Let's see how much we can make you like it."
"Rafer," she pleaded, biting back the moan that threatened to slip from her throat. She was going to come all over his fingers when waiting would be sweeter, the pleasure better with him inside her. His fingers slid down her soaked folds, parting her for his touch.
"You're wet, Cher."
His husky drawl had her creaming more.
"Is this for me or for Dag?"
Oh, God, his game got her going and he knew it. What would he do if she said his brother's name? She wanted to find out, but there was no hiding how close she was to coming. She was done playing, lost in her enjoyment of his touch. The raw sound of wetness filled the air, her breath sawing in and out of her in pants that mirrored the hard pulse beating in her pussy. She pushed up against him, demanding more.
"Yes," he growled. "You tell me how much you like this."
"Too much," she cried. "I'm coming, Rafer."
"You already came for him. You don't need to come again."
The stern warning in his voice made her wetter. She fought to see his face, to watch his eyes, but her own were drifting shut. He tucked a finger inside her, and her pussy clenched in welcome. He'd been there, too, before.
"Try and stop me,"
she growled back at him. That finger moved deeper, finding a spot and rubbing. Bright sparks exploded behind her closed eyes, a fiery maelstrom of pleasure engulfing her. When he slipped his finger free, she couldn't hold back her cry of frustration.
"Ask me," he demanded. "Ask me to let you come, Lark."
"Yes," she said, raising herself up to meet him. Shamelessly, she pressed herself against his hard length. She wasn't usually this needy, wasn't this demanding with a lover, but he awoke a wild side she hadn't known she possessed.
"Yes, let me come now."
His hand returned and she bit back a groan. She'd never done this, never let a man touch her until she was all raw, needy ache. The sensations overwhelmed her.
"Both of you,"
she whispered, the husky admission a plea for more.
"You both felt so damn good."
Dag had touched her there, too, but Rafer had taken her virgin ass instead, one wicked, forbidden finger exploring hidden depths. Remembered heat burned through her.
"I'm going to have you here, too."
His finger traced the channel between her rear cheeks, dipping deeper, teasing her senses with that delicious burn as his finger stretched her a second time.
"Rafer!"
She froze.
"You like that?"
She had. She did. When his fingers slid free, she wanted more.
This is my turn.
His hands gripped her hips, holding her in place.
I'm going to take good care of you tonight, Lark.
Sensual promise filled his voice as he stared at her, all shadows and darkness, a large shape covering over her.
I don't need taking care of.
She protested weakly. Fantasies ran riot through her head. She didn't need this. The question was, did she want it?
Yes, he said hoarsely. Yes, you do, Cher. You fantasized about this.
The dreams. Had those dreams been something more than merely fantasies? A harbinger of future pleasures?
We've been dreaming of you, too, he vowed. That moon up there tonight? That's our once-in-a-blue-moon chance. My kind, we can only hunt for our mates when that blue moon rises. Then she leads us right to you. And so you're not worrying too much, Cher? That moon makes sure you're doing plenty of your own dreaming.
As he slid down her body, anticipation had her stilling. He laughed.
You smell delicious. I've wanted to do this ever since I scented you running.
He turned his mouth against the soft skin of her belly.
When you run from a predator, Cher, we give chase.
What happens when you catch up? She teased. His tongue followed his mouth, tracing a wickedly damp path along the curve of her stomach. She wriggled before she could stop herself, and his husky chuckle filled her ears. He wasn't a man who laughed a lot. She knew that instinctively.
You get what you have coming to you,
he promised roughly. Her lashes drifted shut. This world was sensuously dark and private. Just the cabin and the man and the bayou night, where all her late-night fantasies came to life. All too soon she'd wake up, and this would be all over.
No, he growled. Don't leave me, Cher. You think about this.
He parted her legs apart in one bold, uncompromising move. His shoulders pinned her thighs wide, opening her up for him, preventing her from shutting him out again.
You liked it when my brother licked your sweet pussy, didn't you?
He growled the words against the top of her mound, and she wanted to whimper.
God, she had let him do that.
What had been even sexier, though, was knowing Rafer was holding her, watching, an anchor in that storm of unexpected pleasure. His fingers parted her. Brazen and bold, he wouldn't let her hide from the raw sensations he coaxed from her body.
Let's see if you like this as much.
His tongue dragged through the saturated folds of her sex, and at that shocking touch, a raw, keening cry left her lips. She'd always been quiet in bed. Now she didn't recognize the sounds she was making. Primitive and animalistic, her cries almost drowned out the man's savage growl of enjoyment as his mouth closed over her folds, licking and tasting, taking. Her hands slid into his hair, holding on. His teeth nipped delicately at the swollen flesh, and bright sensations streaked through her. She was coming apart. Surely it wasn't possible to be this aroused.
Do you?
Do I what? She gasped. Oh, God, she needed him to touch her, to do something to ease the ache burning her up from the inside out.
Do you like this?
That wicked tongue found her clit, stroked until she arched up into the gentle pull of his mouth. Her fingers curled into the sheet. When he finally stopped, she groaned at the loss.
You have to tell me, Cher. You give me the words now, he demanded.
She was on fire, unable to hold back the orgasm rolling over her, consuming her. The soft brush of his fingers against her clit sent her over the edge.
Yes, she bit out. Damn you, yes, do it more.
Dark satisfaction filled his voice.
You like being naughty, Cher.
Yes, she admitted, with you. He'd make this good for her. She'd chosen him as her mate, and everything Rafer had learned from centuries of fucking and watching, all that skill, was for her now. His lark. The greedy arch of her body, the breathy whimpers she couldn't hold back, those were music to his ears. She wanted this. She wanted him, trusted him to give her only the pleasure and never the pain. Somehow he'd lost himself in her body, lost himself in her. She tasted impossibly good, each lick of her drenched pussy a sugary treat. Lust roared through him as he parted the soaked folds. His. He rubbed his tongue against her, marking her so the entire pack would know the truth, finding and circling a spot that had her gasping. She spread her thighs wider, and even that soft brush of her bare skin against his was an erotic thrill. His mate was open and wet. She'd come for him, had let the waves take her and ride her. Now he wanted to ride her. She came apart beneath him with a keening cry. Her orgasm ripped through her, tiny spasms milking her pussy. Flipping her over, he pulled her up and onto her hands and knees, swatting her ass when she protested sleepily. Savored her gasp as the heat of that erotic pain bit at her. There was so much more he could show her. He tucked the head of his cock against her wet opening. He needed to be inside her, so inch by slow inch, he pushed carefully deeper. He was too large, and his new mate was so very, very small. Petting her, he coaxed her to open for him and let him in. When he finally sheathed himself completely, a low, keening wail broke from her throat. He froze, but she pushed back against him, muttering demands. Thank God. Her body was a sweet, slick vise wrapped around his cock. He reached beneath her, finding her clit. In. Out. Discovering her rhythm. The rhythm that would send her over the edge.
I can't.
You will, Cher. He wasn't leaving her behind. When the first shivers of her orgasm started, he bit her shoulder, marking her, branding her as his, as the scent of her marked him, too. He'd know her anywhere now, be able to track her wherever she went. As the orgasm pounded through him, he emptied himself in her. She flooded his senses. His lark. Chapter 7. An angry raptor screamed and pinwheeled overhead as the bayou waters slapped the houseboat's sides. Beneath Lark's fingertips, the cotton sheets were still cool. Hell. Heat flooded her, teasing the pleasant ache between her thighs. She felt wet, stretched, filled. For the first time in longer than she could remember, she hadn't woken up aching and unsatisfied. The Bro brothers were every bit as decadent as their reputation. She'd had her one taste of the fantasy, but now everyday life was knocking, and she needed to get back to her farm. Rafer Bro was a sweet treat, and she was a woman on a diet. Unfortunately, though, she had no definite idea of where she was, other than deep in the bayou. The Bros obviously didn't welcome visitors, not unless those visitors came with a boat of their own. If there was a cell phone reception out here, she could call the farm and have someone come out with a boat, wherever here was. The sultry warmth made it hard to think clearly. Her foot brushed a strong, firmly muscled leg with a rough dusting of hair. Cracking her eyes, she came face to face with Rafer. His heat surrounded her, his masculine scent a seductive lure. In the soft morning light, his too familiar face was hard and watchful, as if he knew every instinct she possessed was clamoring for her to run. No, she didn't mistake his cool observation for anything other than what it was. He was watching her, waiting for her to wake up. Fantasies spilled through her head before she could cut them off. Images of the places where he'd put his hands, his tongue. He'd seen parts of her she'd never shown anyone else, because last night was supposed to be a fantasy, an erotic game she was in control of. One look warned her loud and clear, however. She wasn't in charge here and never had been. He'd played with her, and now the only question was why. She sat up, and to her surprise he let her go. His arms fell away from her, and she told herself she didn't miss that heat. He was gloriously, fabulously naked, and he was beautiful in a primitive, masculine way, the slabs of muscles on his tight abdomen and the long-heeled scar on his side promising strength and protection, a safe harbor, Whatever battles he'd fought in his life, he'd won. His cock thickened, and she looked away, cheeks burning until she spotted the tidy pile of her clothes. "I need to get home." She couldn't keep the accusation out of her voice as she lunged for her clothes. The familiar things couldn't ease her awkward embarrassment, but she pulled her pants and her shirt on like the clothes were a lifeline. Her underwear had vanished, but her sneakers and socks were still there, carefully folded. Sitting down heavily on the edge of his bed, she put herself back together. If only she could put her life back together as easily. "You are home." Rayford disagreed. She shouldn't have found his voice such a turn-on. Gravelly and hoarse, he gave her the feeling he didn't talk much. And yet here he was, talking to her. With her. As if everything he had, everything he was focused on her. "Last night happened, Cher. That changes things." He watched her, and the rest of her memories came flooding back. Last night hadn't been just about sex. The wolves, hunting her, those same wolves had shifted, becoming men. Dark, hard-eyed men who touched her wickedly, seductively. "No, sex doesn't change things. Feel good? Yeah, but it's no game-changer." She said the words calmly, reasonably, but there was nothing calm about how she felt inside. Shapeshifters were on the pages of a book, a really, really good book, not beside her on the bed in broad daylight. "I warned you." Despite his stillness, there was no missing the tension in that big body. If she ran, he'd be on her, fast. "You didn't want to listen to me, either at your farm or last night. We're shifters. We run as a pack. And now you're part of my pack." Now it was her time to do some denying. "No." She shook her head, feeling the tangles of her hair cling to her jaw. "I'm no part of this pack of yours. We had sex last night." She ignored the slow, masculine smile splitting his face. "But that's all it was. Hot sex." Other women did this all the time, right? So she could too. This was just sex. Really, really hot, really good sex. "You've been dreaming," he reminded her, and she couldn't contain a start of awareness. "Remember, Lark? Hot, sensual dreams about lovers and a blue moon? Dreams that have you waking up in the morning with your panties soaked and your pussy clenching? You want to know why you had those dreams?" His gray eyes flashed gold. Wolf eyes. Oh, God. She should have run screaming, but instead she sat here sharing a bed with someone who wasn't human, although clearly that hadn't bothered her last night. When she didn't answer, because what could she say, he continued, "The packs have existed for hundreds of years." "Wait," she interrupted, "there are more of you?" "Yes, but we're a dying breed. We lost wolves from another pack last week." Sorrow flashed in his eyes, and she knew the loss meant something to him, that their deaths were fiercely personal, regretted. "The only way for us to mate, Cher, is during the blue moon. Think about what you saw last night." When he reached out a hand, she flinched. She couldn't do this. If he touched her, this would all be too real. She'd come apart in his arms the same way her life was unraveling right in front of her, morphing into something else. He wasn't human. "We hunt for mates during the blue moon because that moon leads us to certain women. Women who can be scented, tracked, found only on a night with a blue moon." He sat up, leaning forward. He filled up the space she'd tried so hard to put between them, large and hot and demanding. "Those women," he continued ruthlessly, "are the pack's predestined mates and the only ones capable of mating and breeding with our wolves." He captured her hand. She didn't want to make a scene, not yet, so she let his large, warm hand envelop her smaller one. Last night had been the best sex of her life. What they'd done together, what she'd encouraged him to do to her, had been raw and intimate, and now he was a stranger. God, he was too real. He was supposed to be a figment of her imagination. "So you don't do this very often?" For some reason, his answer mattered to her. She wanted to hear that he didn't spend every night hunting for women. touching other women the way he'd touched her. She shouldn't have felt possessive about a man she'd known for one night, but she did. A wry grin twisted his lips. "You've heard the saying, once in a blue moon?" "No, cher, blue moons aren't common. There are very few mates, and even fewer blue moons, and you're one of ours." "No." She had to say it again. No way was she mated to a wolf who could become a man. Or maybe, she thought, choking back a hysterical giggle, he was a man who could become a wolf. "I have a perfectly normal life, Rafer. A farm, friends, a mortgage." His voice was strangely soft, almost regretful. "Not anymore. Our brides can't go back to their former lives. How would you explain to your friends and neighbors about us? Would you tell them that you are fucking a shifter? We're a secret the rest of the world isn't ready for, Cher." "You're saying I up and vanish?" To his credit, he didn't hesitate, just gave her the hard, brutal truth. "You come with us, start over here in the bayou." "No." He expected her to live happily ever after, and that made last night a nightmare. "I'm going back to my farm. That's how this is going to work. Whatever feudal world you come from, it's not my world. It never will be. I'm not going to be some itch you need to scratch." "You want to run?" His voice was a husky growl. "You think you'll find pleasure like this somewhere else?" "There's more to life than sex." She could feel the blush heating up her face as he watched her. No way would he let her forget how much she had enjoyed last night. Too much, and he knew it. His eyes warned her he was all darkly sensual predator, and she didn't have any difficulty imagining him as a wolf. His next words had her heating right back up. Again, "I'll take you every possible way," he promised. His fingers traced the pink blush coloring her cheeks. "Last night, Cher, was just the beginning." Rafer lightly shackled Lark's wrists with his fingers. The fragility of her bones amazed him. She wasn't a shifter. She wouldn't heal if he broke her, bruised her. That vulnerability terrified him. He'd never hurt a female in his long life, but what if he lost control? He rubbed his thumb against the pulse leaping at her wrist, following the pale trace of veins beneath the soft skin. He'd scared her. The loup-garou were long-lived, easily enjoying hundreds of years if the skin hunters didn't take them down first. Even so, once mated, mated pairs didn't outlive each other by more than a handful of weeks. A mated wolf would take no lover other than his mate, but she was free to sleep with both him and any unmated wolves in their pack. Skin touches were an important part of pack life, and it was the responsibility of the female wolves to make sure the unmated wolves had what they needed. Lust pounded through him. What he wanted was to drive himself into her, bury his cock in the sleek, wet heat he discovered last night. Would she still want him, however, now that she knew the truth? He'd had her, but that had been the mating frenzy. Each time he'd gotten a little closer emotionally. She'd let him draw nearer, whether she knew it or not, when she trusted him with her fantasies. The bond between them was so very clear to him, he could sense every frantic beat of her heart, the heated pulse of her blood through her veins. Last night had imprinted her scent on him. Wherever she went, he'd find her. Unfortunately for him, that connection appeared to be a one-way street. She'd seen his wolf and didn't like it, or him. She twisted her wrists, moving determinedly in his grasp. "No," she said, her breath a hoarse gasp. "No, Rafer, let me go. I'm going back to my farm alone." Now her scent was pure fear. He let go. "This isn't something you can think over. You can't deny the bond between us, Cher. That bond is there now." He kept the word forever to himself. She knew. Hell, they both knew. But putting words to what she was feeling made everything too real. He'd been as careful as he could be not to hurt her, but her panic now tore him apart. The wolf was afraid to let her go, but the man knew he had to. He could follow, would follow. He'd coax her back into his arms, show her that he could be trusted. Then she'd bond with him. Then maybe she'd love him.
Chapter 8. When Rafer should have been wrapped around his new mate, skin to skin, he was cooling his heels on her porch. That porch was picture book pretty, all white picket and wicker furniture. Hell, he had flowered cushions on which to park his sorry ass. Dre had taken her back to her farm, and Rafer had followed, shifting to keep pace with her easily. Even more so than on his first visit, Lark's farm struck him as a feminine lair, filled with warmth and good smells, and he wouldn't admit how much he wanted her to let him in. He'd been cold for so long, now his heart beat with hers. He would not be shut out. He'd claimed her. He fought the urge to shift, to run her land and learn it like he'd learned her body last night. In too many ways, it was easier to mark her farm than to mark her. The rest of the pack had come too, hot on his heels, because where one went, they all went. But then they'd stopped and waited on the edge of the farm for Rafer to come to them. He'd staked his claim on Lark, mated her whether she accepted that bond or not. That made her farm, her land, his territory now. She hadn't asked him inside, and he hadn't wanted to push his luck. Not yet. So he pulled up a chair on her porch and watched. He should be helping her, he thought, angry with himself, and inexplicably hurt that she hadn't asked him to do so. Taking her away from her human life was necessary, but instead he sat on her porch like a domesticated dog. He didn't move, though, because clearly this farm mattered to her. Before he took her away, he needed to understand what she saw in these fields. That first visit, he'd been focused entirely on the woman walking down the dock to meet him. He hadn't really checked out her place. Now he took in the tumbled-down, storm-worn farmhouse with its sagging steps and geraniums in tin cans. Pretty, sure enough. But none of these things would keep her alive if, when, the skin hunters came. Still, he'd give her this handful of hours, let her make her goodbyes. Then he could take her away. He didn't want to have to force her. He wanted her to choose him, choose the life he had to offer her. Not going to happen. Apparently, he had fantasies of his own. Her farm was a busy place in the daylight hours. Over the morning's course, while he'd watched over her working in the yard, he'd seen dozens of humans come in and out of the front yard. Day workers, men and women loading big plastic buckets of fresh-cut flowers into the back of vans. A few of the farm's other visitors carried traces of her scent, as if she'd shaken hands or brushed past them, but none were marked anywhere near as strongly as he was. None of them smelled like her. None of them was a lover. The newest woman, the one who'd driven up in a beat-up Honda that reeked so strongly of dogs his hackles had risen, looked over at him, shifting a plastic bucket filled with cut flowers to her hip. "Boyfriend?" The air lit up with Lark's hunger now, a blush heating his mate's face as she denied his presence in her life and lied her sweet little ass off. Friend of a friend and merely passing through. That pissed him off, that she'd denied the connection between them. She was still human, so he didn't expect her to use the same words as the pack did. The hell there wasn't something between them. Whether she was ready to accept him as her mate or not, she'd let him mark her, let him touch her in ways he knew she'd never permitted before. The wolf in him regarded her possessively now, and the man was in complete agreement. The woman with the flowers shook her head slowly. "You should rethink that one, honey. A man who looks like that, you want him somewhere besides the front porch." His mates muttered, in the doghouse, carried just fine across the yard, as did the other woman's rich laughter. "Like that? Well, when you let him out, he'll make it up to you as soon as you say the word." Lark's guest smiled knowingly before making her goodbyes. Still ignoring Rafer, Lark headed into one of the greenhouses, where colorful sprays of flowers showed through the glass panes. When she opened the door, a blast of heavy, luscious scent hit him. He wanted to follow her in, shut the door, and take her on a bed of lily petals, rub the waxy petals against her soft skin, tease her to the edge of orgasm, and then take her over. Again, something that wasn't happening. He tried and failed to imagine her living in his bayou-bound houseboat with its faded slip-covered couches and a mismatched assortment of beds and chaise and cushions.
Pack slept wherever sleep found them, tumbled together, touching. Last night she'd let Dag touch her. His wolf loved her caring for his pack, and the man liked it just fine, too. Slamming out of the greenhouse some half-hour later, she shot him a glare, but she didn't leave the farm or get in her truck. He hadn't wanted to take the keys away from her, and as long as she didn't make moves to drive off, he wouldn't either. She was under house arrest, and they both knew it. His mate was pissed. He supposed that was better than running from him. The third time she made the trip from the greenhouse to the potting shed, she did an about-face and pointed herself right towards the porch. Frowning, she stomped up the steps and skidded to a halt in front of him. "You!" she snapped. He tried to look concerned, receptive. Hell, he did care, and as much as he could, he'd give her what she wanted.
"Yes?"
"You need to go," she said. And yeah, that was one of those can't-go-there demands. He wasn't leaving, ever, and the sooner she got on board with that plan, the happier he would be. Since his leaving obviously mattered to her, however, he put the question out there. "Why?" Clearly mind-blowing sex wasn't enough for her. She looked frustrated. "Because I have a job to do here." She dropped the load of plastic nursery pots on the porch and crossed her arms over her chest. Not being stupid, he kept his eyes fixed on her face, her angry face, and forced himself not to notice how her defensive gesture pulled the faded cotton of her T-shirt tight over her breasts. Her nipples pebbled where the fabric rubbed against her, begging for attention. "I have things I need to take care of," she insisted. "Let me help, please," he added silently. His wolf's instinct was to see to his mate's needs. Not being able to figure out what the hell it was she needed had that wolf whining with frustration.
"Oh, right."
She snorted, and he wanted to drop a kiss on the tip of her dirt-smudged nose. "You can't. I don't know anyone who can." "Explain." Squatting down, he began restacking the pots. Doing something, no matter how small, felt good. "I have a mortgage."
"Okay."
He knew what this was. The pack might prefer open spaces and plenty of room to run, but they'd made a point of learning everything they could about their more human neighbors. He'd had hundreds of years to learn the nuances of human finances. His mate owed someone money, and that worried her. "On this farm," she said pointedly, "a really big mortgage." He wondered what she considered a large sum, and then decided it probably didn't matter. Whatever amount she owed, she obviously couldn't pay it.
"Tell me about it,"
he invited. He set the neat stack of pots on one corner of the porch and tugged her over to a wooden rocking chair, pulling her down onto his lap before she could protest.
"Rafer."
The sound of his name on her lips had him hardening, the thick ridge all too evident beneath his worn jeans. Yeah, she sounded skeptical, and he couldn't blame her. Still, he could no more turn off his reaction to her than he could stop the moon from rising. Capturing her hand, he massaged the palm with long, sure strokes. She was tense, tired.
"God," she breathed.
"That feels good." Her pleasure pleased him. "Tell me more about your mortgage." Her fingers were long and capable, bare. Unexpectedly, he found himself wanting to give her a ring, to mark her like human males mark their females. He needed everyone to know that she'd chosen him, except that she hadn't. Not really. She hadn't understood Luke's question last night. "Not yet," he told himself fiercely. "Not yet, but she would. Soon." She leaned into him, and he wondered if she knew that she had, even as he savored the soft heat of her. "This was my grandmother's farm. When my mother brought me here, my grandmother was still alive. She'd run this farm since my grandfather's death 20 years before."
"She must have been lonely."
Humans died. The thought of losing his lark made him painfully glad that wolves rarely outlive their mates. When he lost her, he would follow her shortly thereafter. He wouldn't have to give her up or leave her, ever.
"I'm glad that you had come to be with her."
"I hope so." She paused, clearly remembering those long-gone days. "I was a child. Maybe I didn't see everything I should have, but I loved her. We were happy here." she said fiercely. And then when she died 2 years ago, she left me the farm, all of it, the fields, the flowers, the customers, and the bills, the mortgage, the good with the bad. I did the best I could, but there's not much money in selling flowers. Selling flowers was foreign to him. He'd seen the stalls in New Orleans, known that those blooms had come from somewhere, but he'd never stopped and wondered where. Humans bought, and the stalls sold. A rainbow of cut flowers, bouquets, and potted arrangements. A few dollars bought an armload, so she couldn't have been making much. And she owed money. "Maybe it was stupid," she said. He let go of her right hand, picked up her left, and started the massage again, working his way down the muscles over her knuckles. "No," he assured her. "This was your grandmother's place. Now it's yours. Why wouldn't you want to keep it?" Wolves were territorial. He understood why she wouldn't want to let go of a place she'd claimed as hers, which only made his job harder. She smiled, and it was as if the sun had come out from behind the clouds. "Yes," she said, "that's it exactly. I can't just give up. The bank scheduled the farm for auction in 3 days. Even if there's nothing I can do to stop it, I can't stop trying." "Good." He gave in to temptation and buried his face against her neck. When he inhaled, he got lemon verbena and rosemary, all earthy and sweet. Soft, with a side of tart and bright, that reminded him his mate was strong. Strong enough to stand on her own, without him, if she wanted. "That's not helping." This time a hint of laughter brightened her voice. He wanted to offer her money, but then she would have even stronger roots to this place, and taking her away to live with the pack would be harder. She had to come. He couldn't lose her, and he couldn't let her lose her dream, her lair, her place, full of her grandmother's memories and the life she'd built for herself. Fuck. He knew what he had to do, knew he had to put the pack's welfare first, but he didn't want her to pay the price for those needs and wants. But what else could he do? He couldn't stay. He belonged with his pack, and they needed him, needed her. "Loser," his mind taunted him. He was scared to tell her the truth, that he could fix this particular problem if she let him. Money wasn't an issue for him. He'd had centuries to amass a fortune. "So you see why I'm not packing up here," she said, her eyes sliding away from his. His wolf was satisfied. She dropped her gaze, and that meant he had the upper hand. The man didn't like how she flinched, and he was more than an animal. Wasn't he? For her, he had to be. "If that was what you were really offering. I mean, I know we just met, so talking forevers and happily ever afters isn't really practical, is it?" He dragged a thumb up the sensitive skin of her palm, finding and soothing the sore spots. "I'm your mate. Whatever you need, I provide. That's how this works, Lark. It's that simple." She'd had her own pack, a pack of two, but he understood about memories. She was fighting to hold her territory here, and he got that. He really did. Still, he made a note to look into it more. It wouldn't be hard to pocket one of her bank statements, find out what it would take to stop this auction. He didn't have to interfere with this. He could let the sale run its course and make it easier for her to leave with him. "There's nothing simple about this," she protested. "It can be." He traced a hand down the curve of her spine, straight as an arrow beneath the cotton shirt. Her back practically vibrated with tension and some other, less well-defined emotion. His Lark needed him. She just didn't know it yet. Getting her to admit that need wasn't going to be easy. Later that afternoon, because some things couldn't wait for nightfall, he shifted and reconned the farm's borders, assessing the defensibility. In his wolf form, sense hit him more intensely, a primal simplicity to the information. Lark had marked every inch of this farm, and the land smelled sweetly of her, and of danger. An oily, all-too-familiar stench coated the space. Skin hunters had found the farm. Christ, he shouldn't be surprised. The vamps had been on their asses for centuries, tracking the pack from one continent to the next. 3 centuries ago, Lou Garou had followed French settlers to Louisiana, and the vamps had been right behind them. The same blue moon that led the pack to a potential bride also drew the vamps, and once they had wind of a loup-garou mate, all they had to do was wait. When the wolves came, the vamps picked them off. Running wasn't an out, and fighting was a stopgap. The way Rafer saw it, their two races would butt heads on this particular battlefield until they were all dead. His pack melted out of the shadows as a group greeting him. The wolves rubbed along his sides, butting their muzzles against his head and licking him happily before shifting back into human form. In his wolf form, Rafer had savored the wild feel of the run. Nose to the ground, he learned every inch of Lark's borders, but now shit was hitting the fan, and he needed to discuss matters with his brothers face to face. He shifted. The marks on the ground here betrayed the presence of a vamp scouting force nearby. Four, maybe five males, none of whom had bothered to hide their tracks. That kind of brazen confidence meant the skin hunters had a significant backup force. The pack could fight off 20, maybe 30 hunters. If, however, the vamps had fielded any force larger than that, sheer numbers all but guaranteed the vamps the victory. Luke stepped up beside him. Even bare-assed after his shift, there was no mistaking the lethal menace of the man. He was a predator who'd scented prey. "With those numbers, we take your mate and we head back into the bayou." Christ! Rafer was a warrior, a fighter. Standing his ground in his own territory, even in a hallelujah moment, was the best option as far as he was concerned. Except that it wasn't just him anymore. Lark wasn't a fighter. She wouldn't know what to do when the skin hunters came at her, and it was his job to make sure she stayed safe. And it didn't matter anyhow. His Cher was as stubborn and pig-headed as any member of his pack. "She won't go." Luke looked over at him and shook his head. "She's your mate," he said, as if it was as simple as that. "You think she has the muscle to say no if you're saying yes?" "She's human," he countered, because there was no avoiding that truth. "She doesn't do things our way." "Not yet, but she will." Luke knew what the pack was capable of. "You convince her, Rafer." Dag swung back toward his alpha. "This is the tip of the iceberg here. A scouting force means there's about to be an entire fucking army of vamps camped out on your doorstep. You need help explaining things to her, you call on me." His words made it clear what form that help would take. "She liked me just fine before." Hell. Rafer bit back a growl. Any sharing he did would be on his terms. "She wants to pick her own course, make her own decisions. And that's going to get her killed." "She know what a skin hunter is?" Dag's gaze met his in silent challenge. "You tell her about them. Make her understand the risks. She'll rethink staying fast, and if she doesn't, she's your mate. You do what you need to do to keep her safe." "She won't like it." "She doesn't have to like it," Luke countered. "She just needs to stay alive." So he could breed her like a bitch in heat and rebuild his pack. That had been the plan, but that wasn't enough. He wanted more, even though he wasn't sure what that more was. All he knew was he was flat out of time. Lark Andrews might be his mate. The woman the Blue Moon had led him to, but she was a mate in name only. She hadn't accepted him, not in her heart and her mind, not in the ways that mattered. Sex would never be enough to hold a woman like her. She would want the words from him, words and promises he couldn't give her. She'd want him to be human when he wasn't, not entirely. These skin hunters are going to be on her like white on rice. They're not going to quit. Not when they've got themselves a Blue Moon bride sitting right out there in the open for the taking. We need to take her somewhere we can defend. "We could defend the farm," he said slowly. More he thought it over, the more he liked the idea. "That shit, and you know it. Why?" He'd surveyed the land. It wasn't impossible. Why not make a stand right here? The farm actually isn't in a bad position at all. "You want to sit tight and paint a target on your ass?" Dag grinned at him. "That sounds like an excellent plan. You go right ahead." Luke shook his head. "Once those skin hunters know where we've hunkered down, they'll lay siege. You stay put, you make it easy for them. They'll keep on coming, and there's a limit to the number we can hold off." So we take them out. Let these scouts follow us and make damn sure none of them get to report back. Luke wanted to take her and go. Dominate her, assert their will. And they could, Rafer knew. It would be so goddamn easy. She was human and had no real idea what she was up against. He, on the other hand, was a fool, because forcing her was the last thing he wanted to do. Sure, he might be able to coax her body in his bed, but he'd lose something else. He'd lose Lark herself. Fuck. He didn't need to think too long to know this was the truth. Lark's breathing slowed, and she was seconds from slipping away from Rafer into sleep. The bed creaked as he lay down, because it was almost as old as the damn farmhouse. The mattress gave beneath his weight, rolling her into his larger body. His wolf craved touch, needed to be skin to skin with her. Hell, the man also wanted to hold her, to spoon himself around her. She was still lonely, and so was he. She'd fought her attraction to him. That was her choice, and he'd respect it, even if he'd been hard since she'd run from him in the bayou. But he wouldn't let her sleep alone, not when they both needed that closeness. He'd take every inch she'd give him.
"You shouldn't be here."
Her voice was sleepy, but she curled up on her side, face away from him. She didn't tell him to leave, so fuck being a gentleman. He got the covers up and slipped underneath. "You're my mate," he whispered roughly. The sheets were old cotton, baby soft, and the fabric held her scent. God, he could have lain there all night, breathing her in. Instead, he eased closer, got himself right up behind her, and pulled her in gently. He didn't want to fight, and didn't want to scare her. He told himself he wouldn't ask for what she didn't want to give, but he gave in to desperate temptation. "Let me sleep next to you?" Her voice was a drowsy hum. She'd worked hard, and he could sense her slipping away, losing herself to the dreams. "I just want to hold you," he whispered roughly. She'd gone to bed wearing a cotton chemise, the scoop neck trimmed with lace. That lace hugged the curve of her breasts, and she was relaxed and feminine in his arms. "I'm Pack. We touch." For a long minute, he heard only the easy rhythm of her breath going in and out. Then she turned over, and her hand found his chest, like she was making sure he was really there and she wasn't dreaming. He wanted to lean down into her, press her back into her mattress, and show her exactly who and what he was, but he didn't want her to take her hand away.
"Why?"
she asked. Her fingers fanned out against his skin.
"Touch feels good."
He couldn't keep the pleasure from leaking into his voice.
"But it's more than that. The wolven kind, we need touch. We need that contact with our pack, with our mates."
She eyed him skeptically, like her bullshit meter was going off. He didn't know why her opinion mattered so much to him, but it did. He didn't want her thinking the worst of him.
"I touch you and I feel calmer, more centered. I don't have to fight the wolf for control."
Her tiny snort of laughter warmed him up.
"You realize this is a standard high school dating ploy, right?"
Laughing with her filled him with more of that unfamiliar inner peace, sated that deep longing he hadn't known he had.
"Yeah," he admitted, "but it's still true."
"All right," she said. She didn't want to talk about the shifters. He understood her reluctance, but she couldn't hide from that truth forever. He couldn't change who he was, Loup-Garou and Pack. Her fingers moved against his skin again, and his heart gave a hopeful leap before he could shoot it down.
"Is that what you want?"
"Please," he groaned. His cock was erect, but this was about more than sex.
"Touch me, Cher."
Rafer's chest was rock hard, as solid as the male himself. Rafer had made it clear he was staying, and Lark found that strangely seductive, which worried her. She had a life already, she reminded herself.
"Do not want this."
She wasn't going to be some wolf's mate and give up everything she'd worked for here. But she was also lonely, and some things were easier to cop to in the dark. She was tired. She didn't want to say no to Rafer, not really. Instead, she didn't say anything, just laid there, breathing him in. The comforting solidness of him was an erotic seduction. One breath in,
another out, the rhythm of their bodies slowly synchronizing. He wasn't handsome or good-looking, not in a GQ way. His face was too harsh, the lines of his jaw too strong for pretty. He made it impossible to forget that he was a fighter, a brutal warrior nature had designed as the ultimate predator. And yet, when she sensed, rather than saw his head dip down toward her, she made a sound of welcome. She didn't want to deny him. His hand slid up her arms, cupping her shoulders and pulling her into his warmth. "Your scent drives me crazy, Cher." His husky voice drove her crazy. "Rafer." She wasn't sure what she needed to tell him, but his thumb pressed against her lips, demanding her attention. "Shh," he whispered. "Maybe we need to talk less." And do what? This was good, though, this being alone with a man who'd intrigued her from the moment he landed on her boat dock. Just him and her, the bed a luscious promise at her back. When his mouth covered hers, she wanted to keep that contact forever, freeze these seconds in time. How could such a hard man, a fighter and a predator, kiss that gently? Full of warmth and so damned alive, his lips moved over hers with exquisite pressure. She was tired, but she had the energy for this, these drowsy, undemanding caresses. Kissing this good should be illegal. His mouth took hers, slow and deep, the wet sound of skin on skin uncompromisingly erotic in her darkened bedroom. His tongue stroked along the closed seam of her lips and in, sure, taking and giving pleasure, licking along the edge, coaxing her to come out and play with his wolf. "We talk like this, Cher." His teeth nipped at her bottom lip. "This is me, telling you how very pretty this part of you is, how good you taste." Oh, God. She wasn't putting words together now. No, she was thinking about the feel of his mouth on hers, and about how very close he was. When she inhaled, her breasts rubbed gently against his bare chest, only the cotton chemise between them. With each sensual rub of his tongue, she relaxed into the mattress, into him, getting comfortable. Her mouth opened on a sigh, and his tongue slid in, playing a lazy game of chase-me-catch-me with hers. He tasted wild and sweet, and kissing him was too good. When his mouth moved away, his lips leaving hers, she heard her own sleepy protest before she could bite back the sound. "Shh," he whispered. He turned her around in his arms, wrapping himself around her, draping one leg over hers and tucking his face into her neck. For the first time in years, she felt safe, protected, loved. Sleep beckoned, rising up to meet her. "Go to sleep, Cher." His satisfaction rumbled through her, penetrating her defenses. "See? This I got right. This is good." The words slipped out of her mouth right before she tumbled into sleep. "Thank you. Whatever you need, Cher." His promise followed her into her dreams. "I give you that." Chapter 9. Disaster struck the next night. The shitstorm wasn't unexpected, not unexpected at all, but Rafer had still hoped. Wanted to believe that this time the pack wasn't facing yet another skinhunter attack. But know that eternal war was banging on his front door, yelling loud and clear, "The time was up, motherfucker." Before fate had yippee-ki-yayed the last grains of sand in its hourglass, he'd thought the choice was his mate or his pack. The reality storming the farmyard made the choice far more basic, living or dying. That's what it all came down to tonight. Rafer knew the skin hunters were out there waiting for the sun to go down. The pack could have made a run for the bayou and their base, but they had an hour tops before the natural light went out. There wasn't enough time to make it to a city big enough that the vamps couldn't shut down the power grid. He bet they'd already killed the power to half the parish, and that Lark's farm wasn't the only blackout. Lark had a generator, which was an unexpected bonus. Luke had ordered 24, but it would be another week before the truck brought them up here to Lark's farm. He'd had to keep the order on the down low, because the pack had learned years ago that local law enforcement tended to believe there was a big-ass marijuana grow happening when there was an order of that size.
Lark's generator lit up the growing dark. Problem was, the generator couldn't cover the entire farm in light. The damn vamps would slip right through the dark spots where the light didn't reach, and it would only take one vamp to find and kill the generator. The skin hunters were vamps, 6-foot-plus males with trademark pale skin, white hair, and the black eyes. Preternaturally fast, the hunters could clear a 12-foot jump without breaking a sweat, but photosensitivity would fry their asses almost as soon as the sun crept over the horizon. The vamps couldn't tolerate any light, artificial or natural. Rafer kept one eye on the yard while he unloaded an arsenal of flashlights and knives on Lark's kitchen table. She watched him carefully. The generator kicked on. You know why we've lost power? She sent something, all right. Talking quickly because time was up for them, he gave her the 411 on the skin hunters and their photosensitivity. When he figured she understood exactly who had killed her power and why, he wrapped her fingers around a flashlight. You do what I tell you. Whatever the pack says, you do it. She didn't like orders, he got that, but this was her life on the line, so he'd make damn sure she did what she needed to. He wasn't losing her tonight. She looked at him, nodded. Got it. You want to tell me why? He'd tried, but she hadn't wanted to believe him. Not the first time. So he said it again because she was still human and his world was new to her. We're surrounded by vamps. As soon as that sun is down, they're going to storm the place. She shook her head. I'll hold on to my farm as long as I can. I'm sure as hell not letting a bunch of vamps take it from me. His wolf approved wholeheartedly of her protective attitude. This was her den, her lair. The vamps had no business dragging her into one of their hunts. Are they... She waved a hand. Bloodsuckers, like in the movies? Human imaginations never failed to amaze him. Sure, although more like predatory carnivores. When a vamp got his hands and teeth on fresh meat, he tore said meat to shreds. Nothing left but a bleeding pulp, but his mate didn't need that visual. You don't let them get close. They move fast, faster than you're used to, and they can jump. Vamp will clear the yard in one, maybe two leaps, and then he'll be up here on your front porch, and there won't be anything between the two of you. He wasn't letting that happen. None of the pack would. But it wouldn't hurt her to be prepared. Why do they want the skins? Her fingers wrapped around the flashlight he'd armed her with. With her other hand, she palmed a gun and set it close beside her on the table. Unfortunately, the only way to kill the bastards was the old-fashioned way. Stake them right through the heart. Bullets were no more than a tickle. Skins let them walk in the daylight. When she looked at him in a silent demand for more words, he gave her what he could. The vamps were a perversion that defied description. They can't take the light otherwise. So they wear the skins like a jacket? Literally. His hand smoothed the air, miming a body. They cover themselves, every inch they can, in wolven skin. Jacket, pants, shirt, whatever. The more skin a vamp wears, the better he hunts in the daylight. They want to make a coat out of you? She gaped at him. Yeah, but it's not happening, he promised her, palming a pair of blades. All I need is for you to keep safe inside, okay? You let me and mine do our thing outside, and you stay put here. She leaned into him, rubbing his shoulder with her cheek. I can do that. He left her inside and went out where the pack was moving into position. This drill was too familiar. They were foot soldiers in an age-old war against the skin hunters, and this was one more installment in the same old, same old. Sunset on the bayou was pure magic. The birds roosting in the moss-hung cypress greeted the new dark with a raucous shout-out, a sharp explosion of sound as the sun finished its slow crawl toward the horizon. As usual, sunset wasn't romantic. No, the setting sun was the opening salvo in tonight's installment of a centuries-old battle. Fear, though, that was a new emotion. And the handful of seconds before the sun finished its dip and slide beneath the ocean's edge and made the bayou all lights out for the night, He wondered how Luke handled not knowing where his mate was or what kind of danger was blowing up around her. He wanted to keep Lark safe, and instead she had a ringside seat for tonight's dinner show. The pack's fighters knew their shit, but that didn't guarantee the outcome he wanted, only made it more likely. She could die. Hell, he could die, but that possibility didn't engender the nauseating, gut-churning fear he got imagining Lark in the hands of the skin hunters. He wouldn't leave Lark alone and unprotected. She probably wouldn't see things that way. She might blame him, and not that bitch Destiny, for the shitstorm knocking on the farm's front door. It didn't matter. He'd fight, and he'd win. He wasn't losing her, not now that he'd finally found her. The sun winked out, blanketing the bayou in sleepy darkness, and the skin hunter attack came fast and hard like always. The vamps pushed fast toward the yard and house. Maybe they'd left Beauville alone. Lark's neighbors were likely fine for the moment, because fresh meat wasn't the priority. There was plenty of that anywhere the skin hunters went. No, what the bastards wanted were pack skins, which meant they targeted the farm first. Anything after that was all bonus. In the early years after he'd been born, he'd seen whole towns emptied out after the vamps had torn through. Slaughterhouse didn't begin to cover it. He counted heads as the vamps swarmed the yard and the pack engaged. A dozen vamps were visible, which meant there were at least twice as many hanging back and coming up on him from behind. The scent, thick and oily, hit him first. The vamps stank of rotting meat and fur. Hunters didn't bother cleaning up their prizes any, simply slapped them right on. Mismatched fur covered the arms and legs of the first vamp out of the shadows and into the pool of artificial light, the two white flesh an obscene gleam against the jagged edges of the pelts. Blackened blood had dried on the stiffened edges. Rafer didn't recognize the faint trace of the skin's former owner, which was a small blessing. Behind him, the screen door snapped open. "Go inside," he gave the order without turning around.
"Oh, my God,"
Lark whispered. "More prayer than curse, so yeah, she got the big picture here." "Go, now." He wanted to plant a kiss on her forehead, but his feet were already hitting the steps. Inside was better, but at least on the porch, he could keep an eye on her, and she had the wall to her back, so no one could sneak up behind her. Later, he'd explain the importance of a mate's orders in battle. For now, he headed into the yard to take care of business. "Rafer." He didn't know what she was going to say, but there wasn't enough time for a heart-to-heart, so he kept on going. Still, he didn't want to die without telling her the truth this once. "I love you," he said, and cleared the porch. What the hell was she supposed to say? It was a good thing Lark hadn't known Rafer was feeling sentimental, because she suspected she wouldn't have held it together. Rafer fascinated and frustrated her. Her body wanted him something fierce, but her heart had been holding back. He loved her. Those words had her eyes suspiciously damp and painted what she suspected was a loopy grin on her face. Because, as new as all this was to her, her heart whispered she could feel the same way about him. Maybe already did.
"Be careful now,"
she whispered, even though those words were too few and he was too focused now to hear her. A vamp sailed across the yard, the hard slap of flesh on flesh, breaking the silence as one of the twin wolves stepped out and ran interference. This wasn't the way she'd imagined her kickoff to happily ever after. Still, she'd take what she could get. Rafer. Face fierce, he fought 100% an enraged medieval warrior. A savage growl tore from his throat as he took on the next vamp into the clearing. His blade came up to block the vamp's downward strike. Her man was a walking arsenal, a suddenly comforting thought. Big and hard and mean, he moved quicker than a snake, too. Even as the vamp regrouped for another strike, Rafer brought up the wooden stake in his left hand, sliding the wood smoothly into the vamp's chest. The vamp dropped, and all hell broke loose. A tidal wave of pale, dark-eyed vamps hit the farm's perimeter.
Jackson worked one of the farm's floodlights, pointing the wattage at the vamps off where he could. Not all of the creatures were wearing skins, and the ones who weren't sizzled and hissed as the light hit them. When Lark breathed in, the scorched smell of burned meat had her gagging. She didn't like the fear flooding her, but she could count. There were too many vamps slipping through the dark, too many wearing skins that walked right on through Jackson's light show. Somewhere, somehow, her nice, ordinary life had done a 360, and the unexpected geometry had brought her here. Standing on the front porch of the farm, she'd poured her life into, watching werewolves and vamps get it on. All the rage and angry what-ifs of the bank's impending foreclosure pushed at her. This was her farm. All around her, the pack growled and snapped as they took on their attackers. Rafer's brothers used teeth and nails, knives and fists, whatever it took to bring down the vamps long enough to stake them. She didn't like parking it on the porch, but didn't see how she could help either. Out in the open, Rafer slammed into a skin-wearing vamp. The powerful slap of skin-on-skin rocked both males, but Rafer didn't hesitate. His arm swept up, delivering a powerful blow. The vamp's head rocked back with a loud snap, but the hit didn't slow the monster down much. Instead, he palmed a blade, a mean-as-shit grin spreading across his face when the blade's handle smashed into Rafer's jaw. "You recognize this skin?" The vamp's taunts were all too audible, even from where she stood on the porch. "Fresh! We caught him last week." A white hand stroked over the lush, dark fur. "He was a pretty one." Rafer's roar of outrage shook the yard. He grappled furiously with the vamp. One hard blow, and he and the vamp staked, dark blood spurting onto her yard. The vamp vanished, leaving behind a pile of skin on the ground. Rafer tossed it to Lark. "Go inside. Guard this." Then he was gone in a whirlwind of savage destruction. The man who had worn this skin had been part of someone's pack. She didn't know who he had been, other than not one of the bros, but his loss was no less horrifying for that. Her lips peeled back from teeth, her fingers pressing the skin to her chest. She wanted to howl, to lunge for the monster battling in her farmyard, who had hurt this unknown wolf so badly, and that was new. She was changing from who she'd been before Rafer had marked her a mere 2 days ago. The bite mark on her throat throbbed, reminding her that the mark was more than just sexual. She carefully set the pelt on the wicker love seat and turned to face the battle in the yard. The wolf pack attacked as a unit. Some shifted, some not. There was no overlooking the brutality of the fight or the thick copper stench of blood. Glass broke as someone sailed through the window of her greenhouse. This farm was hers. One of the wolves out there was hers, too. So she'd learn how to do this because she had to. Those vamps were the enemy. All too soon, one broke free, coming for her. Hot on that one's heels, Rafer went down beneath a sudden onslaught of vamps. He wouldn't make it in time. She got the flashlight up and ready. She was going to be on her own here. "You need to do better than that, sweetheart." The vamp paused, his gaze crawling over her face and moving slowly down her throat and body. "You're a tasty thing, aren't you?" She flicked the flashlight up too high, but there was nowhere near enough light. She had to get inside or off the porch, but staying where she was wasn't an option. "I'm not on tonight's menu," she warned, because this kill-or-be-killed thing still felt alien. The vamp didn't give a shit about her feelings on the matter, though. The monster made for her like it knew words were cheap. She fainted, but Rafer's howl from the yard blasted through her as the vamp sank its claws deep into her shoulder. Chapter 10. Time slowed, stretching out before it sped up with a fuck you vengeance. The vamp laid hands on Lark, those pale, prehensile fingers closing over her skin. Hell no, this wasn't happening. Not on Rafer's watch, and not tonight. Yet as he grappled with the five vamps pulling him down, he had a ringside seat for the slow-motion nightmare. 20 yards away, while those claws did a slice and dice down his mate's arm. No. Rafer took out his vamps and cleared a path to her. Shifting, he let loose and gave control over to the wolf, let every primal, primitive cell in his body free to fight. Hold on, hold on. She wasn't a trained fighter. Hell, she wasn't even a shifter. He'd planned to make her that offer later, when she'd had the time to get to know him and his pack. He'd figured losing her home and her life was enough change for this week, so he'd kept that potential bombshell to himself. He should have done it. Should have changed her, because now she was still 100% human and too fragile. She bucked hard, shaking the vamp off so his claw didn't cut to the bone. Just carved a thin red line down the inside of her arm. A scratch, but still, the scent of her blood had every head in the clearing snapped around, and she got the flashlight back up. Good girl. Whipping it round, she blinded the vamp riding her arm. He dropped back, but only for a moment.
Bitch!
He snarled, reaching for her again.
Get the hell off my porch!
She shrieked, barreling toward the vamp.
God, no!
The roar of rage peeled back Rafer's lips from his teeth. Behind him, things heated up, but he was fresh out of give-a-fuck. That was his mate up there on the porch. The scent of her blood was a red flag that had his paws eating up the yard and closing the distance between him and her.
Got your back.
Luke's harsh growl came from behind him. Rafer knew that, and not because the woman on the porch was a Blue Moon bride, because she was Rafer's. Rafer hit the steps, shifting fast. She had a knife in her hand, blade out like she was going to shuck herself some oysters. A lethal edge, but the blade was short. Too short to hit the heart. Still, the vamp clearly hadn't expected his prey to have teeth. The creature froze as the metal edge parted his skin.
"Get in the house!"
Rafer bellowed. God, if she didn't move back, if she got hurt. He didn't know what he'd do, how he'd go on. Even though as her mated pair he wouldn't live long on his own, that short space of empty would be too long. No, his mate had him wrapped around her dainty fingers, and she'd put herself square in the way of the very danger he'd told her how to avoid. Hell, he'd deal with that later, after he'd killed the vamp who'd laid open her arm. Getting an arm around the vamp's head, he twisted. A quick lock and pop, and the vamp's neck snapped. The injury wasn't enough to kill the bastard, but the blade Luke tossed him reached the vulnerable spot between the vamp's ribs just fine. Rafer rammed that blade in until it hit heart. Game over. Before the corpse disappeared, winking into oblivion, he was advancing on her, acting exactly like the wolf he was. Emotions warred in him, the fierce need to protect, fighting with his urge to dominate, to force her back into the house where she'd be safe. He wanted to bury his face in her neck and surround himself with her scent, go skin to skin with her and drink in the truth. He hadn't lost her, not yet. She was still here, still waiting for him. His growl hung in the air between them as he prowled closer. Her eyes widened. Hell. Her wolf was mean, naked, and covered in dark vamp blood. Lark leaned the hell away from him, keeping her eyes pinned on Rafer's angry face. His wolf raged too close beneath the surface, and her mind kept running a loop of the battle. Rafer had fought. He'd taken on a pack of bloodthirsty vamps and shredded them with vicious determination. She could feel the raw fury simmering in him. Now he was pissed at her. She'd broken another one of his pack rules, and he intended to teach her a lesson. His way of life was alien, the primal fury of a male determined to keep his mate safe.
"Stand down,"
she growled up at him. His arrogance both pissed her off and aroused her. His arms tightened around her, and she swore his eyes lit up. Yeah, her wolf was good and mad at her. "We'll get to me in a minute," he snapped. As he took her inside, she got a clear look at the carnage over his shoulder. The noise was dying down in her yard, so Rafer's pack had clearly done their thing. Even as she watched, Jackson high-beamed the nearest body that must have been still twitching. That body charred in a flash of oily black smoke. Great! At least she wasn't going to have to worry about the cleanup. Rafer kicked the door shut, his heel slamming into the wood. She was alone with one pissed-off wolf. On the other side of the door was her farmyard,
filled with the blood-streaked, mean-eyed, victorious members of Rafer's pack. He pushed away from the door, and she didn't mistake the determined look on his face for a desire to chat her up. No, her wolf was moving the battle straight into the bedroom. 10 strides had him at the bed, bending down to strip back the covers. Only then did his arms let go, depositing her in the center of the mattress. His clothes followed with brutal efficiency. "First aid kit," he snapped. "Bathroom," she told him, listening to him rummage ruthlessly through her medicine cabinet while she considered her options, thought about what she wanted here, because in a minute, Rafer was going to take control. She couldn't hide from what he was to her. Even without the too bright light leaking inside from the generator lighting up her yard, she could see the truth for herself. This was her mate. Water splashed as he washed, then he returned, crouching by the side of the bed. His big hands reached for her injured arm. He cleaned and bandaged her injury with gentle efficiency, his jaw tightening as he examined the vamp's handiwork. "Hurt?" "No. Whatever he'd done had helped. I'm okay." "Good," he growled, pushing to his feet. "Then we've got business." He stood there, legs apart, proud and hard. All alpha, all hers. "Strip." His guttural command had her panties dampening. "Now." She knew she should protest. He was more animal than man, but there was also no denying the adrenaline rush or the desperate need to reassure herself that they were both alive. When she hesitated, he ruthlessly stripped off her clothes, tossing them to the floor. She let him, enjoying the game. The mark of possession, even though she knew teasing her wolf was dangerous. Effortlessly, his hands flipped her over on the bed. His big, hard body pinned hers, and his mouth found the sensitive skin of her neck, the rasp of his teeth sending heat flaring through her. His thick, heavy cock pressed against her ass. "When I tell you to do something, you do it, Cher." He wanted to dominate her, but that wasn't what she wanted. She inhaled sharply as his hand found the small of her back and pushed her down into the mattress. "Well, fuck him." "You're not in charge here," she growled, pushing up against that weight. He held her in place, throwing one leg over hers. She was ass up, face down, bare, and angry that her sex was creaming for him already. The fingers of his other hand slid down her exposed cheek, tucking against her pussy. Just the tips of those fingers stroking her swollen folds. A little moan escaped before she could bite the needy sound back. She could smell her own arousal. "I am," he retorted. That male confidence had her rearing up again. To hell with his games. "News flash," she gritted out. "This is the 21st century, Rafer. You're not in charge here." "Wrong answer," he drawled. His hand tapped her ass, delivering a sharp sting before massaging the tender flesh. She was juicy and wet, fighting not to spread her legs apart on the bed. Dear God, what he was doing to her was all wrong. His fingers lingered, pushing in. She squirmed, fighting the shock of pleasure. "We didn't discuss game-playing." Outrage warred with arousal. His medieval roots were showing. She shouldn't let him do this, but God, it felt good. "This isn't a game," his low growl warned her, had her ass tensing in anticipation. "You put yourself in danger." Another tap, this one lower and harder. She squirmed. "Rafer," she protested, but couldn't get the words past her lips. Her ass was burning, but not as hot as her pussy. This wasn't the time to be doing this. She shouldn't let him. A series of sharp spanks rained down on her bare ass. "You could have been killed," he gritted out, his hand stilling. "I couldn't have stopped that." He wasn't human. She barely knew him, had hardly met him. She should be horrified at what he was, embarrassed by this aching need she had for him. He was more animal than man, and yet her arms curled around his neck, pulling his head down. Her body definitely wanted him. Her head wasn't far behind. She shouldn't have been okay with that. should have protested what had happened here on the bed because she recognized a power play when she saw one. Friends had whispered about sensual games, about letting a lover take over and dictate in bed, but she'd never imagined the dark possibilities of Rafer's attention or the unexpected trickle of pleasure. She hadn't known fear could provide such an erotic thrill. She hadn't known she could enjoy that. Relief swamped her along with the desperate need to hold this man closer still, to make him part of her so she was never alone again. Each erotic tap made her slicker, wetter, readied her for his touch and his possession. She bit back a moan. This was all wrong, and yet it felt all right. Rafer was hard and almost feral, a trained killer and a soldier in a war she hadn't known existed. She wanted guarantees he couldn't, wouldn't give, but he would give her pleasure. And he definitely wasn't safe. He'd take her until she rode the agonizingly thin line between sensual satisfaction and erotic pain. He'd demand, and she would give. In his arms, she'd be safe to explore everything off-limits and unsafe. This was exactly what she'd wanted. "You're safe now," he whispered harshly, not the words she'd wanted to hear. She wondered if she'd misunderstood him, if this rescue was nothing more than a quick exit from an untenable situation, rather than an erotic prelude to something wilder and hotter. "Am I?" She reached up to touch his face, to stroke her fingers along his jaw. Dark stubble roughened the skin. He'd mark her if he kissed her. Her pussy clenched. She wanted that, too. His kisses everywhere. The exquisite sensation of his skin teasing hers. "I'm keeping you safe." His hard voice was all promise, all soldier. "Okay." She wanted this, wanted him. "Keep me, Rafer." He jerked, a growl tearing from his throat. He liked her words. She could see the truth of that in his eyes. Her wolf would keep her safe. "And you won't hurt me." The cautious words slipped out before she could bite them back. "I won't be the one who hurts you, Cher. That I can promise you." Heat glittered in his eyes, a fierce sexual need tightening his face. He was hungry for her. "Rafer." Pleasure whipped through her. Nerves, an erotic need so strong she was shaking with it. He pulled her down to the bed's edge and slid a pillow beneath her head, spreading her hair over the cotton like he enjoyed that. "Look at me," he growled. "Give me those pretty brown eyes of yours." He was in charge here. She wasn't. When he pushed her legs gently apart, there was no time to protest or think, just that last moment of uncertainty as he drew closer. His eyes watched her face, though, and not the body he'd bared. "You got to trust me, Cher." "Yes." Her voice was throaty and needy. "Yes." "Surer." She reached for his shoulders, balancing herself as she let him guide her back onto the bed. He knelt on the floor in front of her. His hands drew her legs up until her heels rested gently against his back. Embarrassment warred with arousal. She was on display, hiding nothing now. No one had ever looked at her like this, and it was sexy and frightening and almost too much. He didn't make her wait long. "You're so pretty here." He stroked down her folds, not quite parting her, teasing her with the promise of a deeper penetration. Then he cupped her ass, pulling her closer still, holding her in place, supporting her. "Spread yourself for me." His demand shocked her. There was no way to argue with him, to beg for more time, to wait for her head to adjust to the sensual demands her body was all too willing to make. He was taking her now. "Do it." His voice was harder, intimating an erotic punishment she wasn't sure she was ready for if she hesitated. This was what she wanted, though, so she reached down, sliding her fingers into wet heat. Defiantly, she watched his face as she moved her fingers lower and sucked in a breath at the bright stab of pleasure. This pleasure, this awareness, this was what she had been missing. "Good girl," he praised. "Now let's give you what you need, Cher." He leaned forward, his tongue finding her swollen clit, and drawing a wicked circle around the tip. Fire whipped through her, heat and need striking her from that quick, light touch. She lifted up into his mouth. Her hips loosened, tension flowed out of her. He ate her up in slow strokes. Buried between her thighs, he traced those wicked, wicked circles where she ached so badly for him. She was burning, and it was all his fault.
"Do something,"
she demanded, her hips arching up off the bed. His kiss was too much and not enough. She needed more, now. His tongue devoured her, lapping at the soaked folds like he couldn't get enough, like the taste of her was something he craved. With each devastating pass, her body tightened as that sweet, hot tension filled her up, and the delicious end rushed closer as he traced erotic circles around her clit. He blew lightly, and she didn't recognize the moan tearing from her throat. The need was worse now, the fiery heat tormenting her. He covered her with his mouth, gave more as she whimpered, lost in the pleasure. The sight of him, of that hard, raw-boned hunter worshipping her, pushed her higher. All that strength reined in, focused on her, safe to explore, safe to let go. Because, oh God, 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 she was letting go. There was no holding back now. His hands supported her, gathered her closer as one hand slid beneath her. Her back arched up, pushing her pussy against his mouth. Her clit twitched, a bright, pulsing beat consuming her as she cried out his name. He wasn't done yet. One thick finger coated in her juices traced the dark crease between her cheeks, then tested the small hidden opening there. That knowing fingertip circled the opening once, twice, then dipped just inside an erotic pinch of pleasure pain as her body let him in, welcomed him. "Come for me, cher." His blunt words against her pussy, that rumble of approval followed by the rough, sweet drag of his tongue through her soaked folds, sent her over the edge. Lark's soft, feminine scent surrounded Rafer, and each pass of his tongue in her sweet syrup let him feel her ripples of pleasure. She was coming for him. Surrounded by him and his scent, she lost herself in his touch. Nothing had ever felt so good. He wanted to do it again, touch her more, until he knew every inch of her. Instead, he got with the plan. His mission was seduction, so he flipped her face down on his bed, pushing her thighs apart. The pretty, pretty sight of her pussy glistening with her juices had him staring. She needed him there. Whatever her reasons for letting him touch her, she needed him. That need made him feel damn good. She opened her mouth, but he didn't want words from her now. No, he wasn't chancing her refusing him. Instead, he touched her with his fingers and his body until her orgasm stole her breath away. He dropped onto the bed beside her. Resting his cheek on the curve of her ass, he traced his tongue along the dimples at the base of her spine. His shoulders widened her legs. "Open up," he growled. He demanded her attention. No closing her eyes. This was happening, and he wanted her aware of the weight of him pressing her down, arranging her body. Let her feel the wild hunger in him. He was all man on the outside, but the wolf raged inside him. "I'm going to make this good for you, honey." He slid his hand up her thigh, finding her pussy, working her clit again until she moaned. She curled her fingers into the bed, digging into the fabric, holding on. Desperate, he tucked himself against her wet opening. Rafer stretched her slowly and deliciously, filling her with his blunt, hot length. Big and determined, he was impossibly careful, rough, gentle. He wouldn't hurt her, not intentionally. Tomorrow was soon enough for regrets, because right now all she could do was feel the heat and need streaking through her belly. He carefully pushed her face and shoulders down into the bed, not allowing her to rise up to meet his touch. Instead, he gave her more dark words, dark and roughly sexy, while he put his hand on her clit, his other stroking up her spine, finding the back of her neck, and holding her in place. He had all the control. She had none. It shouldn't have been so sexy, shouldn't have turned her on, but it did. So good, so good, so good. short, shallow, teasing strokes. Then he slid deep, taking her thoroughly, pushing her over the edge and into another orgasm. Afterward, as she drowsed in his arms, he cleaned her up and tucked her into their bed. The sheets smelled like the two of them, and all was quiet outside. There were only the night noises of the cicadas and the bayou settling into the dark. He wrapped himself around her, his scent marked her inside and out, and his fingers were tucked beneath the soft curve of her breast, his face buried in her hair and against her neck. His. Part of him knew she couldn't be his, not really. Mate or no mate. This was about seduction. He couldn't truly have forever. This was simply one more battle in a lifetime of fighting. But this felt right. Lark felt right. And he had another night to hold her. Chapter 11. Rafer stepped outside onto the porch, carefully latching the screen door behind him. The bayou night was all sultry heat and sweet scents. A copperhead slid away into the shadows.
"We need to talk," he said.
His brothers were standing guard on edge. At his call, they melted out of the darkness surrounding the farmhouse, battle-hardened fighters responding to his summons. He knew they recognized the mating scent, knew why he'd summoned them back to the house when they needed to be out in the bayou. His brothers were his pack, and now he had a new mate. He had a choice he didn't want to make, one or the other, but not both. Not unless Lark gave him that choice. His brothers definitely looked the worse for wear, and the shame of that hit him hard. He'd left them to finish the fight so he could go fuck in a primitive instinct to dominate the female he'd defended. The earlier battle had left its mark, but the pack's injuries were already mostly gone. Their bodies mended quickly because shifters healed fast. The pain was still a bitch, though. The Omega's face was bruised, and one of the twins bled sluggishly. Rafer didn't want to choose between pack and mate. He and Lark, they could be a famille of two. Together they'd have sons and daughters. He forced himself to imagine what their children would look like, and it was all too easy. A baby girl with her mother's eyes and that stubborn enjoyment of whatever life had to offer, and a big brother to keep life shit the hell away from his sister whenever her father couldn't. But his pack was famille as well. He slapped a hand on the wall of her house, wanting to howl, wanting to pound his flesh against the unyielding boards until something in him tore and bled. His packmates had had his back. Christ, they mattered too, and there was no compromising between the two, was there? He had to choose, mate or pack, one or the other. He needed to do the right thing here, the honorable thing. Making up his mind had never been harder, but when he heard the words coming out of his mouth, he knew his head was finally where his heart was. "I'm staying." The familiar faces of his pack stared back at him. His alpha didn't look surprised, so maybe he'd seen this coming all along. Sometimes the pack changed. Brothers came or went. So he'd stay right here. He might not be sure how or why he could make this work, but damned if he wasn't going to try. "She's not ready." He gave them the truth. They deserved that. "Not ready for what?" Luke's boots hit the porch deliberately loud. Luke was dressed and ready to roll, whereas Rafer was barefoot, fresh out of bed. It dawned on him that he had somewhere to go back to, while Luke had no end plan, no destination, when he beat feet away from Lark's farm tonight. "For any of this, for us, to leave." Despite the battle they'd fought in Lark's yard, the farm looked relatively unscathed in the silver moonlight. "Hell, Luke, she shouldn't have to leave. This is her home. She belongs here." He wanted to belong to her, with her, for as long as she'd have him. "And we don't." Their Omega sounded resigned. Yeah, he knew where this was headed. His ass was ready to hit the road, his arms wrapped defensively around his middle. "No," Rafer admitted. The words hung there between them in the air. "She's not pack. She shouldn't have her whole life upended. Ended. Because of a blue moon." "She's your fated mate." There was no mistaking the aggression in Dag's stance as his boots ate up the porch steps.
"You don't want to keep her. I'll take her."
"No worries."
Hunger and anger lit Dag's eyes. "Don't throw this away, because she's unfamiliar with our ways. You find a female like that, you keep her."
"Only if she's keeping me," Rafer said coolly.
Rafer had gone outside. His big body cast a dark shadow through the screen door, lit up by the sun peeking over the horizon. Despite the too early hour, the low rumble of male voices told her he wasn't alone either. Tucking her towel tighter, she wondered what he would do if she dragged him back inside. He'd been sprawled in their bed when she got up to take a shower, but he probably knew she was lurking here on the other side of the door. That was the downside to mating a wolf.
"Only if she's keeping me."
The words hit her like a punch. He was admitting she had choices to make here. This wasn't more of the predestined mate crap he'd been spouting. Stay or go, he was telling his brothers that she'd make the call.
"We need every fighter we can field."
That was Luke's decisive rasp. "You think about that when you're making this decision."
"Yeah."
Rafer didn't move, just kept his feet planted on her porch. She could hear the pain in his voice as clearly as if he'd reached out a hand to his brothers.
"That's not something I like doing. But talking about it isn't going to fix things. Lark is my mate.
A mate who won't accept what you are."
"Maybe not. Maybe not now. Or ever."
Rafer's shadow shrugged, and she closed the distance between herself and the door, pressing her fingertips into the steel mesh. Memories of his powerful shoulders beneath the faded cotton T-shirt had heat licking through her again. Last night, she'd curled her fingers into that warm skin and hung on while he rode her hard, took her over the edge with him.
"She's going to do what's right for her, Luke. I aim to be right here when she's ready to decide."
"All those years we've been packing, you're walking away?" The voice from the down in the yard was clearly unhappy. The wolves were posturing, circling each other.
300 years and I found where I belong,"
Rafer countered. "I don't need to tell you that. We all feel it. I'd hoped." He stopped.
"Hoped what?"
Dag's voice sounded mocking and hard. There was an undertone of pain, though, that she recognized on a visceral level.
"Hope there'd be room in that bed of hers for all of us? That's a choice not too many of our females make, Rafer."
"Maybe it's not, but I sure had hoped," Rafer growled.
"It don't matter anymore. All that matters here is what she wants."
Her hand reached for the latch before she could overthink her instinctive decision. Mate. She tried the word out mentally. That felt right. Rafer felt right. Blue moon or no blue moon, he was hers, and she wouldn't hide from that truth anymore. Stay inside, and she shared him with no one. He'd be just hers. Where the mesh screen had bit into the pads of her fingertips, red crescents marked her skin, a small bite of pain. Part of Rafer belonged to the pack. Those males were why he fought so hard. They were the reason he defended, protected, and they would lose him. Memories came rushing back of the wolf pelt she'd held earlier. Now, when she stretched her senses, she could feel the soul-aching loneliness of the pack's unmated males. Family. They belonged together, too. The only question was, could she share Rafer with them? She got her fingers around the latch, strong-arming the recalcitrant door open before she could second-guess herself. 2 steps, and she was out on the porch beside Rafer. When she leaned into his warm, solid side, his welcome heat blasted through her. His scent reached out for her, wrapping her with familiar comfort.
"You don't have to choose," she said, slipping her hand into his. His fingers curled around hers.
"You can all come inside." Chapter 12. Lark welcoming his pack was the most fulfilling sight Rafer had ever seen. He'd been so afraid last night that he had lost her, first to the skin hunters and then to his own dark hungers. He'd ached for her, ached to hold her in his arms, ached for words he'd waited a lifetime to say, "I love you." He loved her. He wanted to spend every night wrapped around her, his skin pressed to hers. He'd had 3 nights with her, and already he couldn't imagine sleeping any other way. He didn't want to return to the bayou without her. He couldn't. She was part of him now, part of his very heart.
"Rafer?"
Her husky voice held the barest hint of a tremor.
a whisper of feminine nerves and need. She was offering him a possibility he'd dreamed of. He'd had her, taken her, but he'd known his pack was on the outside, yearning for females of their own, even as he lost himself in his. He'd wanted to share what he'd found, and now she was going to let him. Her eyes met his. Her gaze was steady, unflinching. There was still that hint of nerves, but the scent of feminine arousal was stronger. She wanted this. She wanted them. Over his shoulder, his pack watched him. He took her hand and said what he'd wanted to say again since their fight with the skin hunters. "I love you." He'd meant every word he'd given her, standing there on her porch. Defending her, fighting for her and her farm, had been his right as her mate and an honor. She'd let him give her what he could, and she'd had his back. Both before, when she'd faced down the vamps, and now. A hot sensation unfurled in his chest. That was new. Always he'd fought for others. She was there for him. She was here, by his side. "Good." A smile lit up her face. "Because I think I could love you, too." He was terrified of losing her and in awe of the precious gift he'd been given. Her love was something he'd never dared dream of. He pulled her into his side, his fingers threading through hers. So small, fragile, but she was strong, a warm presence, and he'd want this woman, blue moon or no blue moon. When they got to the edge of the bed, he gently lifted her in his arms, savoring the feel of her. She was his. "You sure?" He had to ask, had to hear. She wouldn't hide from who he was or who the pack was, and that was far, far more than he had any right to expect. Her eyes searched his face again, but he didn't see doubts, just the Mona Lisa smile that had him wondering what she was thinking. Something good. "I invited you in, remember?" Her fingers curled against the back of his neck. The soft touch meant the world to him. The intimate brush of her skin against his promised she liked the feel of him and shared the same unbearable need to be closer that he did. "Naughty," he growled, hearing Dag's answering rumble from behind him. "You're a naughty girl." "Only sometimes." She tugged at his head. "Only right now, with you. And them." He felt her heartbeat speed up against his arm. "And them. You tempt me." Her tongue traced an erotic path along his ear, her hand sliding down his shoulder, past his ribs, headed south. "All of you do. But you've known that since the night we met." Her hand cupped his ass and squeezed. Right there in front of his brothers, she was touching him, her fingers exploring. At the sharp nip of her teeth, he jerked. And damned if she didn't growl at him. "So put me down and do something about it, okay?" He'd never been so aroused, so hungry. She was teasing his wolf, pushing him in a sensual challenge he had every intention of winning. He knew his fierce grin mirrored hers. She was his mate, his match. "No worries, Cher." He sensed the pack moving closer. Someone shut the door to her bedroom, but he didn't look back, just put her in the middle of the bed and followed her down. "You want to play Little Red Riding Hood? I'm plenty happy to eat you up." She swallowed hard as Rafer's broad shoulders blocked her view of the room. She wanted this, wanted him, and she'd take what she could get. Right now, she couldn't think of anything, anyone, but Rafer. His devotion to his pack. His fierce protectiveness. He'd offer her all that, and she hadn't understood what he was offering. Now she did. This wasn't just sex. This touching and kissing was something else. Something more. Inviting the pack into her home and her heart felt right. Her wolves needed something she could share with them, if she wanted to. God, how she wanted to. She turned her head and watched them come to her. Luke sprawled in her armchair watching, but the other four men padded toward the bed on sure feet. Their erections pushed out the front of their jeans in an unmistakably erotic demand. Heat tore through her. Mercenaries, fighters, hers. She told Rafer she was willing to do this, but it was more than willing. She wanted to do this, wanted to kiss and touch them all, even if the man she wanted most was Rafer, These men watched her like she was a precious gift, with heat in their gazes, but something else as well, affection, yearning, need. What they wanted from her was far more than sex. She pulled Rafer toward her, and he came, his lips covering hers as the weight of his body eased her down into the mattress. Fire streaked through her pussy, and she arched up, trying to get closer. His lips parted hers so his tongue could sweep inside. Yes. Rafer rolled to his side, and other hands reached for her knees, pushing her thighs slowly apart. There was all the time in the world to protest, but those calloused male hands were deliberately gentle, seeking to please, stroking beneath the edge of her towel. She stilled, then relaxed. She didn't have to stop kissing Rafer. These new hands were just something more. She felt, rather than saw, the twins, Dre and Landry, move onto the bed, wrapping themselves around her, parting her knees farther. Rafer pulled back. Jackson's sure hands lifted her, tucking her carefully on his lap. Her arousal grew, the anticipation building. She was going to sleep with these men who shapeshifted into wolves. She was going to have them, enjoy their sensual teasing and their welcome strength. No matter what happened to her farm, they'd be there for her, welcoming her, waiting for her. Heat blossomed inside her. She belonged with them, and they with her, and yet she still couldn't stop the blush heating her face. Dag's sexy chuckle had her moaning. "She blushes, boys." Dre gave a growl of satisfaction, his large hands wrapping around her shoulders, rubbing, soothing. She ducked her head, laying her cheek against that hand so his strong fingers could stroke the skin there. "Whatever you want," Rafer said, his thumb caressing a path over her lips. "You don't do anything you don't want to do." "True that," Dag promised hoarsely. "None of us, Shaw, are going to do anything you don't want." The intimacy of the pack was both staggering and shattering. These big, tough fighters could more than hold their own in any fight, but they'd reined in that brute strength, were focused on nothing and no one but her. "Lose the towel for us, baby." Heat lit Rafer's gaze. "Let us see you. You strip, too. If she was getting naked here, they did, too. All of you," she ordered. She leaned back in Jackson's embrace, curled up against his denim-covered legs and the mound of pillows heaped by the massive headboard. Boots hit the floor and T-shirts were stripped off with brutal efficiency. Fingers unbuttoned and shucked off jeans. Her breath caught. "You like what you see?" Dag flicked open the final buttons of his jeans. They were all different, but large. Hard. Those thick erections were a wicked, wicked promise she had every intention of cashing in on. "Yes." She blinked, surprised. She did. She was wet and growing wetter. Decided, she tugged the towel away. Dag's face mirrored her own surprise. "Well, hell, Rafer. Maybe she is going to do this. You think you can take this many wolves, baby?" Part of her recognized instinctively that this man was desperate for touch, feared she'd tease and then pull away. He'd push and he'd challenge, but he wouldn't force the issue, wouldn't force her to take him. That was up to her. "Come over here." She hooked her finger in the open waistband of his jeans, drawing him nearer. He came and she shoved the denim down, her fingers brushing his straining erection. "Be sure," he growled, pushing off his jeans. "Oh, I'm sure," she said sweetly. "I'm certain I can handle this." Rafer gathered her into his arms. "We go nice and slow, Cher. You don't like something? You tell us, okay?" His lips found the vulnerable skin of her throat. "If I don't like something, you're not doing it right." Her head fell to the side, baring her neck in a gesture of submission and challenge. "You got that right, Cher." He tasted her, and she wrapped her arms around his neck, pulling his hard body into hers. Dag slid closer, his mouth nuzzling her ear. Dre's arms anchored her shoulders, sweeping beneath her knees to lift her effortlessly. The mattress gave softly beneath her back as Dag and Rafer followed. The bed was familiar, even if the men filling it were not. She'd fantasized plenty here, and now those fantasies were coming to life. Rafer's big, hard body pushed her down, then eased off. His mouth swallowed her sound of protest, his tongue pressing her lips apart and sweeping inside as his big hands cupped her face, holding her still for a possessive kiss. She wrapped a leg around Rafer's hip, rocking against him. The hard ridge pressing into her pussy and the teasing friction of his thigh had her breath coming in pants. The mattress dipped as more of their pack joined them. Reaching out a hand, she found and cradled Rafer's balls. The heavy sack was full and sensitive where she held him.
"Christ,"
he groaned. Strong male hands stroked her thighs, calloused fingers sure and knowing, working together. Rafer's mouth traveled down, tasting first the sensitive skin of her collarbone and then the slope of her breasts, finding her nipples and tonguing them. She needed him. She needed more. Dag eased closer, pinning her between two hard bodies. His familiar hands touched her, stroking her, as if that soft brush of skin on skin was enough. The pack's males pressed against her, legs tangled with hers, hands roaming her waist and sides and breasts. Each caress sent her higher, the hot pleasure spiraling through her. Dre found her thigh and moved up, cupping her ass, tracing the dark crease lightly. She knew she should be nervous. She hadn't done this, hadn't dreamed of doing this, but sharing her bed and heart with these other males felt right. All that mattered right now was pleasing and being pleased, sharing the pleasure and the fiery heat. They took and she gave. She took and they gave. The pack touched her, surrounded her, big and strong and so very careful. This was supposed to be for them, but they were making it all about her. She felt needed, worshipped.
"We started this,"
Rafer growled against her mouth. "You tell us now, Cher, if we can finish this." She wasn't passive. This wasn't blind submission on her part. She'd chosen to run, and she'd chosen to open the door to this.
"Yes."
Turning, she wrapped her hands around the base of Dag's shaft and palmed him firmly. His eyes glowed as he pressed himself into her fingers, fierce and hungry, both the man and beast watching her. Slowly she lowered her head, sucking the tip of him into her mouth.
"Yeah,"
he groaned, guiding her closer still.
"Take me, Shah. Just like that. Show me how much you want us."
She did want him. She wanted all of them, and that was an unexpected pleasure. Finding the sensitive spot beneath the head at the top of his shaft, she licked. Her tongue rubbed, discovering the lush curve of that big head, and she heard his husky groan. Long and thick, he filled her and then some. His hands threaded through her hair and pulled her closer, careful, tender. When she finally drew back, he let her go, his shaft damp and glistening. She could leave, could get right off this bed right now, but she didn't want to. The twins gently nudged her legs apart. She wasn't sure whose fingers found her, but arching back into that touch felt so good.
"She's so wet."
Rough satisfaction filled Dre's voice. Other hands caught her thigh, gently drawing her upward, bracing her. Someone parted her soaked folds, lips eating at her, and she cried out. The arousal was agony. Pure, heated pleasure sizzling through her.
"Are you ready for this? For us?"
Rafer asked.
"God, yes."
She wanted this, wanted them. Lark was here. With him, with his brothers. In their arms and in their bed. Her back pushed against his chest, her sweet ass grinding against his cock. She was beautiful. Brown hair tumbled about her shoulders, and arousal pinkened her face. When her lashes drifted down, hiding her eyes as she enjoyed their touch, that primal side of him wanted to demand she watch. He wanted to see the pleasure take her just as Dag did. This was the fantasy. This was the reality, and from the hot feminine cream he scented, she wanted this every bit as much as they did. Her pussy was swollen and needy, begging for their touch. His fingers cupped her hips, holding her steady. Dag's hands braced on the bed, his sun-darkened skin a stark contrast against the white cotton.
I'm coming in now, Shah.
Yes, she demanded. His share was all done waiting, and Rafer's cock jerked at the feminine demand in her voice.
You do that, now.
Dag pushed slowly in, and Rafer held her, his face pressed against her throat, where he could catch her low keen of gratification. She was so very hungry for this, for them. Her need fed the erotic hunger burning in him. He'd shocked her, and he'd pushed her, but she wanted this too, and there was no ignoring the fierce satisfaction filling him. She'd taken all of them, accepted them, and her acceptance was a precious gift. His cock felt heavy and thick, his balls tight with an agonizing need. He'd never wanted anyone, anything, so much. He could feel her pressed against every inch of him, her body shuddering as Dag pushed carefully into the sweet, hot depths of her pussy. Each brush of her skin against his further sensitized that already too sensitive part of him. He'd never be close enough. Dag's face was all fierce control, the other male lost in the hot bliss of Lark's pussy, his fingers clenched in the sheet beside her head as he moved carefully, deliberately. Rafer wanted those feelings for Lark. He could come like this, sliding his cock against the dark crease of her ass, sinking just those scant inches into her flesh, but he wanted more. He wanted to lose himself deep inside her, mark her as she'd marked him. Dag found a sensual rhythm, pulling out of her tight pussy before easing forward again, driving her closer and closer to the feverish edge of pleasure and orgasm. And his share, she liked it all right. She whimpered, her breathing ragged, as she pushed her back into the pillows and Rafer. His hands held her steady for Dag, and he couldn't take his eyes off her. She was so damned beautiful.
More,
she demanded throatily, her nails carving crescents into Dag's shoulders as she hung on to his brother, rode his cock. Dag had her stretched, burning around that large cock working inside her. His brother was enjoying the delicious spasms of Lark's pussy clenching, working towards her own release. Rafer would give her more.
How much more?
He whispered the words by her ear.
Dag, he's working himself deep in your pussy, Andre and Landry. They got their hands on your breasts. You know where that leaves for me?
Please, she demanded, and there was nothing shy about her now.
You do it now, Rafer.
Good enough for him. Jackson passed him the tube of lube, and Rafer got his hand between them, found the tiny puckered hole, and pushed. She gasped and pushed right back, so he added another finger beside the first, gently working the lube into her ass as he watched her face. She'd feel that bright pop of pleasure pain as her other opening stretched, accommodating him, knowing what he was preparing her for and what was coming next.
"You don't like this?"
he whispered against her ear.
"You just tell me. This is about you feeling good. We can stop any time, Cher."
Dag kissed her, rolling onto his side. His hips drove harder, faster, burying himself in her.
"God, yes," she whispered. "Give me more, Rafer."
That was all he needed. He tucked the head of his cock against her snug little opening. She could feel Rafer. Dag. Too much, and yet not enough. The exquisite sensations tearing through her had her aching for more of their touch. This was her fantasy come to life. Rafer's cock stretched her rear. Dag held her steady while the loving hands of the twins and Jackson braced her. Dag paused, looking down at her face.
"You okay, Shah?"
Sweet concern filled her tough, hard Dag's voice as he fought for control. She wanted to stop. They would. He held on to her like she was the center of his universe. She couldn't speak, couldn't think. All she could do was ride the searing waves of pleasure. Rafer moved inside her. Dag pushed back. A fiery maelstrom of sensation tore at the sensitized nerve endings in her core. Both men were so large. She'd never imagined feeling so taken, dominated. She arched up into Dag's hold, and a masculine groan tore from his throat. She was sensually aware of the power she wielded over these men, of the give and take between them.
"You feel so good."
Dag muttered the words roughly against her throat and thrust harder, his hips driving into the cradle of her thighs, deeper and faster, determined. She held on to him and on to the twins, her breath softening in and out in a needy moan. Each deep thrust pushed her back to meet Rafer's erotic penetration, filling her with heat and pressure, glorious need.
"Come with us, Shaw,"
Dag demanded. His hands gripped her hips and drew her up to meet his next thrust. Oh, God, she'd had no idea she could feel so much. Rafer and Dag moved inside her, working to pleasure her, and all she could do was hold on and ride the waves of sensation. The fierce edge came closer and closer, each deliberate stroke pushing her nearer until she came, convulsing around them, coming apart as their hands held her steady, anchoring her.
"Ours."
An exquisitely primal possession marked Rafer's voice.
"Mine,"
she returned fiercely. Sleep came fast and hard. Dimly, she was aware of Rafer sliding out of her. Someone washed her tenderly, gently, and then she was tucked up in a pile of male bodies, someone's hand stroking her hair and back as she drifted off. Chapter 13. The sun had barely cracked the horizon, but already the bayou air was warm, a lush weight against Lark's bare skin. Her wolves were piled over and around her in a sleepy, sensual heap, tangled up together in a cozy cocoon of sheets and bodies. She stirred and Dag's head lifted, his hand cupping the back of her head as he pulled her down for a slow, heated kiss.
"Remember."
One big finger traced the outline of her mouth.
"Whatever you want, Shaw, you don't have to decide now. You take all the time you want."
He dropped his head back onto the pillow and closed his eyes, but he wasn't sleeping. He was giving her space. Time to get used to the delicious strangeness of this new relationship. Luke and Rafer were already gone. The twins were sprawled on one side, with Jackson curled up against their legs. She'd need a larger bed. Just remembering last night had a blush heating her face, even though no one was watching, but this felt right, and she was okay. She and her wolves would explore their new relationship together, stake their claims on each other. Wrapping the sheet around herself, she got up and tiptoed out of the room, closing the door quietly. She didn't want to disturb her wolves, although maybe they were playing possum like Dag. Hunters, predators, protectors. Not much got past them, and they were still making sure she had what she needed. Her bare feet hit the cool hardwood. The kitchen door opened at the far end of the hall, and Rafer padded toward her, gloriously naked except for a pair of black sweats. He held out a steaming cup of coffee to her, her white mug with bluebells absurdly feminine in his large hand. The coffee was good, but the kiss was better. When he finally let go of her, his slow smile lit her up. She wanted this man close.
"You always plan on waking me up this way?"
she asked. His fingers traced the sheet dipping beneath the lacy edge.
"I could do that."
Her imagination took them straight back to that sleepy, tumbled bed. She could reach out, take his hand and lead him back there, wake up the others, and start last night all over again. Unfortunately, she was out of time. This was the last morning the farm belonged to her. By tonight, there would be a new owner. One of the cash bidders the bank had made it plenty clear were waiting in the wings.
"We have to leave here."
Sadness at the reality of losing the farm warred with unexpected contentment at being part of a we. She shot a glance toward the bedroom where the new rumble of masculine voices promised the others were waking up and getting ready to start the day. Her pack. Warmth spread through her. Rafer frowned.
"Here?"
"This house.
The farm.
Your home." He set the cup to one side, then his fingers gently speared her hair. For a long moment he rested his face against her skin, a reassuring weight against her neck. She breathed in and then out. Losing the farm, starting over with the pack, this would come out right, even if she went with her pack somewhere else.
"Our home."
She turned her face against his, inhaling. Rafer smelled wild and smoky like the bayou he loved so much. Or so I'd hoped. She'd wanted a place to belong and people to belong with. Somehow, unexpectedly, the bayou had given her that with the Bro brothers. She'd gotten more than she'd hoped for, but she wouldn't be starting that new life with them here. He smiled, a guilty male smile. You don't have to go anywhere. I do. We do. He stroked a thumb along her jaw. Is this about what happened last night? Last night was special. Head back, watching his face, she didn't miss a flash of something dark in his eyes. He was no tame wolf, no matter how gently he treated her. He was and always would be wild at heart, and she loved that about him. I want us to stay together, wherever that is. You'd want me here? He asked. You'd have the room for this? I'd need a bigger bed, she acknowledged with a smile. But yes, Rafer, this is my home. I want you in it. I want your brothers with us. I'm packed too now. A blinding smile lit up his face. God, he was beautiful. He held her heart in his big hands. His teeth nipped her ear. That's good. You're sure? More than sure, but... She paused. This place won't be mine for much longer. The bank's taking it, and there's nothing I can do about it. I have to let go. There's always the houseboat, he said, and then tightened his arms playfully around her when she mock growled at him. That's not a house, she teased. That's a hunting camp. We're going to be doing some serious redecorating. She hadn't known her wolfman could look guilty, or that the sheepish expression would be so endearing. That's not a problem, he admitted. I paid off the note on this place yesterday. You don't have to leave, not until or unless you want to. He pressed his fingers against her lips when she would have said something. Let me do this for you, not because you can't handle things somehow, some way, on your own, but because you'll trust me to do what needs doing for the both of us. His fingers stroked down her arm. This is your place, your lair. You decide who goes, who stays. Instinct warred with desire. She'd stand on her own 2 feet, always had, and now he tempted her with an impossible gift. Are you going? I'm not going anywhere unless you tell me go, but you be sure about what you want. His heated, possessive look made it plenty clear what he wanted. Mama Jolie's words danced in her head. You won't be real careful, Shaw. You got a decision to be making. Stay, go. You're choosing now. Mama Jolie had been right. Lark was staying right here in the arms of her wolf. Rafer didn't want Lark taking him because she felt she had no choice. He wanted to be chosen. She'd picked him last night on the bayou, when Luke had pressed her, but that wasn't the picking that mattered most. Last night she'd chosen with her body. Today she was choosing with her heart. Did you choose me? Those brown eyes watched him like she could see straight inside him. Hell yeah. He nipped her ear, the gesture rough tender. You bet I did. Without the blue moon? She gasped. She squirmed, trying playfully to get away, and his hands grasped her hips, holding her still for his erotic punishment. He'd never get enough of her. That moon was just a convenient excuse, he growled. You did come out here before, she agreed, not hiding the hunger in her eyes. A smile curved her lips, an invitation to play. He loved her sexy games. I bought you flowers. The flowers were for me? There was no stopping the answering grin tugging at his mouth. Sure they were, even though you wouldn't let me pay for them, Cher. You can pay me back in other ways. Her throaty whisper promised a sensual retribution. You got it. His arms braced her, his head lowering. I'm all yours, he declared. Blue moon or no blue moon, I love you. his arms wrapped around her, pulling her into his hard body where she wanted to be. She was his heart, his soul. Without her, he was the animal and not the man. What he wanted from her was more than he'd wanted from any woman before. He wanted her words and her promises. He wanted her love. He wouldn't take, but he would have to ask. "You sure there's a chance you could love me back?" he asked. She'd given him those words, but in the heat of passion. He wanted to hear those same words now when they weren't in bed. Her arms tightened around him. "Chase me and find out," she teased. Ducking under his arm, she danced away from him. Her playful laughter set him on fire, and her heated glance had his wolf on the prowl. "I'm thinking loving you is going to be all too easy, Rafer bro. You come catch me again. See if you can remind me why hunting is so much fun." Still laughing, she darted outside, running towards the stand of cypress trees, delighting both the wolf and the man. He ran after her, but not too fast, because he didn't want to end their game. His feet hit the ground, the steady rhythm echoing the drumbeat in his heart. "I'll always come for you, Cher." She was theirs to hunt, theirs to love. We hope you have enjoyed this audiobook, Tempted by the Pack, written by Anne Marsh, narrated by Kelly Cameron with the Killian Group. If you are an author who'd like to see your book in audio, contact the Killian Group at www.thekilliangroupinc.com. About the author. After 10 years of graduate school and too many degrees, Anne Marsh escaped to become a technical writer. When not planted firmly in front of the laptop translating engineering into English, Anne enjoys gardening, running, even if it's just to the 7-Eleven for Slurpees, and reading books curled up with her kids. The best part of writing romance, however, is finally being able to answer the question, "So what do you do with a PhD in Slavic languages and literatures?" She lives in Northern California with her husband, 2 kids, and 5 cats. You can visit her online at www.anne-marsh.com.